your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. The British Chambers of Commerce is urging the government to continue dialogue with counterparts in the US following Donald Trump's latest announcement on tariffs. The US president says the levies he announced last night following a Supreme Court ruling will rise from 10 to 15%. They'll apply to every single nation which trades with the United States, but the Associate Professor of Political Engagement, Mark Shanahan, has been telling LBC Donald Trump's move probably won't be welcomed.
He is almost certainly going to face court cases again. He can only impose these tariffs now for 150 days. And it is unlikely that as we run up to the midterm elections, Congress, which is pretty much on a knife edge anyway, and a lot of people running for re-election, will support a move that is unpopular with business on both sides of the Atlantic.
The former Prime Minister Boris Johnson has called for British troops to be sent to Ukraine. He says their deployment in a non-combat role would show support for the country's sovereignty. Nigel Farage is claiming he's been prevented from reaching the British Chagos Islands. The leader of Reform UK has published a video after trying to help with an aid delivery to four Chagosians looking to establish a permanent base there.
The British government are applying pressure on the president and the government of the Maldives to do everything within their power to stop me getting on that boat and going to the Chagos Islands. Now, if I was an ISIS fighter crossing the channel to Dover, they wouldn't give a damn.
Tonight, a Labour Party source has told LBC Nigel Farage could have better spent his weekend in the UK. The Chagos Islands are currently owned by the UK, but it's signed a treaty with Mauritius, paving the way for a transfer of sovereignty. NASA's new moon rocket, Artemis 2, has suffered another setback. It's thought to relate to the flow of helium to the upper stages of the craft. Blast-off won't now happen until April at the earliest. And in sport, Great Britain's men's curlers have won silver at the Winter Olympics. They missed out on a first gold medal for more than 100 years after losing 9-6 to Canada in the final in Italy. LBC weather, cloudy and wet for many areas this evening. Clear conditions, but still with showers. Will develop in Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight. We'll see a low of around 5 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Well, let's get back to it.
And I like him. He's a good man. He is not a racist, I can tell you that. He's a good person.
And the latest from Nigel Farage, me, 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 me.
I'm a nutcase.
Messages from last night. Christopher said, we were talking about boats and Donald Trump's likelihood that he's going to name one of them big boats after himself. He says Trump's ship will be bigger. In fact, it will be so big it won't fit in any ocean. It's going to be the biggest boat that anybody's ever seen. Catherine says, hi, Nick. I don't know if you remember Touche Turtle from the 1980s kids show, but every time I see Nigel Farage, that's what I think of. No, I do not remember that. Wasn't watching kids shows in the 1980s. Donna in Manchester says, I have fond memories of my childhood. None of my friends had dads. None of my friends' dads had cars. Ken Dodd's dad's dog's dead. But my none of my friends' dads had a car, but my dad did. In the 1960s, he used to have a Hillman Minx. Oh, wow. It could only get worse if it was in mustard. In other news, it was a mustard-coloured Hillman Minx. From my bedroom, I could see right across the valley and see one exactly the same. Wow. My dad later bought a Hillman in dark blue, and the last Hillman he bought was Hunter. It was a Hunter in red. That's way too many Hillmans. That's about three too many Hillmans. In them days, says Donna, there were no car radios, so my dad used to put his transistor radio on the back shelf. Oh, those were the days, says Donna. Yeah, we didn't have nothing, but we was happy. We were talking about photography. I can't remember why. Paul says, Nick, four times in a short time frame. Four times in a short time frame, Donald Trump. Oh, this has nothing to do with photography. This is about the Chagos Islands. You know the Chagos Islands?
No.
Four times in a short time frame, Donald Trump has changed his mind over the Chagos Islands, and every time he changes it, his cult fans on social media change their minds to suit. It's getting ridiculous now. It is getting ridiculous now. Hey, Donnie, can you pick just one? And July in Cairo says, something for your Trump bingo card, Nick. This is a bit far out, but honestly, it's not surprising. He will make a part in the Pledge of Allegiance for himself.
I pledge allegiance to myself.
Yes. I wouldn't be remotely surprised. These are messages from last night. Manny says, I bought a Mini about 30 years ago. It was an orange banger, 400 quid. Driving it home, I whacked on the brakes at the first roundabout. I skidded right across the roundabout. Luckily, I survived to tell the tale. Within 3 days, said Mini had been cut in half, the engine taken out and resprayed and mounted on a stand, which I still have today. Love the show, love the book. Thank you for your attention to this message. I have a myriad of questions. What have you done with the engine that's been resprayed and mounted on a stand? I hope it's in the garage and not in your home, because that would probably be a bone of contention. I bet your other half doesn't like that at all.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
I bet they are. 0345-6060-973. Lewisham, hello, Valerie.
Hello, Nick.
Valerie.
I loved your car things. It brought back some memories for me.
Oh, yes.
In the 50s and 60s, when I was a little kid in dirt poor Deptford, nobody much had cars, but my neighbour's son had a bubble car. Do you remember bubble cars?
Bubble car.
They were completely glass at the front, and you opened up the front.
Oh, the front of it. Yes, it was a three-wheeler.
Probably, I don't know. I didn't look that far.
Probably.
I didn't go out in it, I only sat in it.
You didn't count the wheels?
No, well, I was only about six or seven.
Oh, okay, right. You could only count to two. I get it.
No, yeah. But the other side, the neighbour had a work lorry, which was a mini lorry.
A mini lorry?
Yes.
I'd never heard of such a thing.
Well, it stunned us even then, even though I was little, it just didn't look right. Especially as he was the size of Desperate Dan, you know, getting into this tiny mini lorry.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture of one right now. That doesn't look anything like a mini. Well, not the one that I'm looking at.
Yeah, but we knew it was.
Oh, but this is a Suzuki. A Suzuki is not a mini. Artificial intelligence is not intelligent at all. It's stupid. I asked for a mini lorry, and, oh, okay, so it thought I meant small.
Oh, right.
Need
a capital M,
not
maybe.
Not that daft after all, yeah. okay.
But there's a third story. When I was driving myself, I got the Hillman Imp, which is actually very handy, that flip-up rear window.
Yeah,
you could put long things in there to rest on the passenger seat at the front.
That's
so
right.
So planks and ladders mm-hmm. and stuff. But I followed a group of basketball players at the time, and one of their other fans was the country's tallest man, Chris Greener, who was 7'6". Who told me that he used to drive one. He took out the front seat and drove it from
drove
the back
it from
seat.
From the back, yeah. That doesn't sound like a great step forward in road safety to me.
It doesn't, does it? No. But he was huge.
Right. Oh, we should have got a bigger car.
Well, yeah, maybe he couldn't afford it. I didn't think to ask him.
Right.
I know that he went on tour with them to Paris. He didn't play, but they decided to take him to the red light district, and all the ladies of the night were chasing him, trying to offer him money.
Oh, really?
Disgusting.
<They're> awful. It was a pleasant tale, and then we got left in the gutter, Valerie.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Dreadful. All right, thanks a lot. Cheers, my dear. 0345-6060-973. Imogen says, my brother drove three passengers plus a double bass up to London to play at Ronnie's in an old-style Mini, which my mum gave him in 1986. Three passengers and a double bass in an old-style Mini. That does not seem possible. And why, by the way, would anybody, with all of the instruments that are available to them, decide at presumably a very young age that the double bass, which was probably larger than they were when they were a child, is the instrument for them? What is the thought process that goes through your mind when you pick an instrument that is bigger than you are as a child? I've always wondered why somebody would do that. Because if a stringed instrument is your thing, you could have a guitar or a banjo. Would be a good idea. But a double bass. I mean, I've seen kids struggling with those on the tube. You know, back and forth from practice, or maybe they were just taking it out for a walk. That's possible. And I've always wanted to ask them, what on earth possessed you to choose that as your instrument? Because it's the least mobile instrument there is, apart from a piano or a church organ, I suppose. But neither of which you have to actually take with you. They're there when you get there. It's probably the best instrument to decide to concentrate on. You don't have to carry it anywhere. I mean, if you've got a flute, presumably, you could put it down next to you on the tube, and you might forget it's there and get up and get off, and then realise you're a big mistake once you've, got off at St. John's Wood. But you can't forget a piano, because you ain't taking it nowhere. Adam says, asking if Trump understands something is a waste of your time. I'm not convinced he knows how socks work. Hey, Donnie, do you know how socks work?
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
Bristol, hello, Ian.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Yes, I wanted to talk about Trump, or rather, the orange oval orifice.
Wow, that is so rude.
That was he. And his tariffs being struck down.
Oh, yeah.
Because he called the ruling ridiculous and poorly written.
Un-American and traitorous.
Exactly, which is something he couldn't claim of the art of the deal, as he didn't write it, although claims he's a great business person might come under the former.
Wow, you are really setting yourself up for a lawsuit, Ian. I think that Donald Trump is going to sue you for...
$8,737,540,000.
Approximately.
But I was thinking, can you imagine the tantrum he's just had?
Oh, yeah, huge.
I mean, he could have saved on the bulldozers for the east wing of the Trump stag if he'd waited for this.
Yeah, he could have blown it down with the force of his fury.
I think the Andrew situation is possibly making him sweat.
Well, one of them is sweating, yes. Sweating, yeah, no doubt about that.
So God only knows what his next distraction is going to be.
Well, I think that he's thrown E.T. at us. That hasn't actually come to pass yet, but that is on the way. It's very, very exciting. We're going to know everything about the extraterrestrials that we don't know already.
Didn't he do something like that before?
A massive amount of information was released, and it didn't increase our knowledge of that affair one iota.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe he'll release more Epstein files that redacted from?
Probably not. He'll use a lot more ink, maybe. Stay up all night at the shredding machine, I don't doubt.
But there's one more thing, possibly not on your Trump bingo card.
Yes.
I think he might do a runner, or rather quit, and have Vance pardon him for everything.
He doesn't need to do that, because he has been pre-pardoned for everything by the same Supreme Court that he is now calling traitorous and un-American. They have actually done that. Anything that he does, either in the past, in the present, or in the future, he has been given a get-out-of-jail-free card. Amazing. He's the only person on Earth who can do anything and get away with it.
We shall see.
All right, sounds like a threat. All right, thanks a lot, Ian. Here's that story. President Donald Trump has hiked worldwide tariffs to 15% after the Supreme Court ruled his reciprocal tax plan was unconstitutional. Illegal, against the law. And as you would expect, the President of the United States of America acted presidentially.
I can be more presidential than anybody.
Infuriated by the High Court's ruling, Donald Trump ordered an immediate 10% tariff on all imports in addition to any existing tariffs, citing a different law as the basis. And then, maybe he wasn't burped after dinner, or malaria locked the door to her wing of the White House, or maybe he received an insufficient amount of flattery today, but he obviously got grumpy and increased the 10% to 15%. Now poor Americans pay 15% on anything that is not made wholly in America.
I make $400 million a year, so what difference does it make?
I mean, he's just plucking numbers out of the air at this point. And it must be an absolute nightmare for anyone in and out of America to try to figure out how to do business with this incompetent clown in the White House. throwing rules around like a chimp. Like a chimp chucks its poop.
Don't talk to me that way. Don't talk to... I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
The new tariff is being applied under the same 1974 Trade Act, which allows the president to increase levies up to a maximum of 15%. Or, you know, whatever number happens to flit across his brow. And that law, by the way, the 1974 Trade Act, was written when Richard Nixon was the president of the United States of America. Hard to think that Tricky Dicky used to be the low watermark of American presidents. I mean, how far has that country fallen? At this point, I think a bucket of chicken would do a better job as the leader of the US. And he hit out at the Supreme Court justices because, you know, of course he did. You might as well ask a baby not to cry. Their ruling was on a basic principle of law that he doesn't have the authority to start tariffing countries like a mafia don, doling out protection for cash. Trump said their ruling was anti-American, by which he means anti-him. And that the judges had been disloyal and unpatriotic. That the judges on the Supreme Court owed him loyalty. He is like a mafia don doling out protection for cash.
Absolutely.
And he took particular issue with Justices Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch, both of whom he appointed, as though because he put them in court that they should just agree with everything he wants.
They showed me no respect. What have I done that you show me such disrespect?
Hey, Judge Amy. Hey, Judge Neil. Don't go out on any boat with Al Neri or turn your back on Luca Brasi, and definitely do not go to an Italian restaurant with Michael Corleone. Capisce? 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is taxation without representation.
Straight to the point.
You get giddy with all these U-turns.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Lucky he gets up in the morning, really, isn't it?
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
At TfL, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Listen to him. He knows everything.
Laura says, Nick, can you swap surnames with Nick Fuente? It's much sexier. Well, that is actually true. Fuente is verifiably a sexier name than Abbott. There's nothing sexy about Abbott. Just ask a nun. 0345-6060-973. Nottingham. Hello, Scarlett.
Hello.
Scarlett.
Hi. My gran, she calls herself Nutty Gran.
Oh, yeah.
She told me about your podcast, What's Your Problem?
Oh, with Carol McGiffin?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Carol.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect to get into it, but now I listen to it all the time. Although I'm only 12, I find you and Carol immensely funny, and I listen to you every night, because it's now my absolute favourite podcast.
You're 12 years old.
I am 12.
Congratulations. You made it. Well, I'm not sure that the podcast that I do with Carol McGiffin is appropriate for a 12-year-old.
It is.
Is it?
That's naughty, Gran.
Right. Well, you may have noticed that we haven't been on. We haven't been doing the thing for a little while. We're coming back in the middle of March. We're taking a break from each other because, you know, we can only stand just so much.
I mean, I just wondered, the only thing I was confused about is, well, why do you never have any photos taken?
Well, Carol takes enough photographs of herself for both of us combined. If I took photographs as in addition to Carol taking photographs, then we'd run out of room on the internet pretty quick.
Because my gran's the one that got me into it. Would you mind if you just said hello? She's listening.
Yes, absolutely.
Hello.
Hello, Gran.
Hello.
Yes, one more.
Hello.
With feeling. Excellent
Hello,
work.
Hello, my name is Joy, actually, apart from Nutty Gran.
Is it?
It is. And you're an absolute treasure because you're so normal.
Normal? How dare you call me normal? I've never been called normal in my life. I am outraged.
No, because if you're an abnormal like me, then normal is wonderful.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed with your grandchild there, by the way. I blame the parents. How about you?
No.
All right, thanks a lot, Nutty, and thanks a lot, Scarlett. If indeed those are your names. Appreciate it. Me and Carol, we do a podcast.
Yeah.
And we have over 300 episodes of the podcast that we've done. I mean, there are over 300. I think it's getting on for 350. An amazing amount of work we got up there. And if you wish to be amused, if you just want to take your mind off, you know, all of this, you know, everything that's swirling around, you just want to get a little mental holiday in, then I do believe it'll be right up your alley. It's called What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol? In which Carol McGiffin and I try to solve people's problems while laughing our faces off. Ask for it by name on an internet near you. What's your problem with Nick and Carol? Now, ordinarily, you get to email your problem in and we'll sort it for you. But like I said, we're taking a short break. But there are about 330 episodes there to enjoy in the meantime. And we'll be back about middle of next month, middle of March, something like that. God, it's practically March already. Can you believe that? Time just ticks on, don't it? Adam says, these are messages from last night. Oh, no, that's the Donald Trump doesn't know how socks work. Dave says, I'm sick of politics, so I'm starting a new party called Regurgitate. Well, I think Fagash has beaten you to it. I think it's I was going to say manned, but it's humaned would be a more accurate description. It's humaned with those that have been regurgitated. All over them. You believe that? Poor Nigel. Oh, he's out there spotting boats. He's all heart. Right. Usman said, since AI is going to take our jobs, let's start by making it fix all the potholes. That is an excellent idea, yes?
Negative.
No, it doesn't like it. Doesn't like that idea at all. South Shields, hello, Joanne.
Oh, good evening, Nick. Are you well?
Yes, very well, thanks.
Nick, do you like musical theatre?
Yes.
Do you like Christopher Guest movies?
Yes.
Excluding Spinal Tap 2.
I haven't seen Spinal Tap 2.
Don't bother.
Right, that's what people say, yeah.
I have something else which I think you and the listeners will love.
Go on.
Go on YouTube, Google Found Footage Fest. Cliff Richard, Heathcliff. I had to Google this 4 times to check it was real. Honestly, the team from Spinal Tap couldn't do a better job.
Cliff Richard
Yeah, it's in the 90s. It's his production. It's his version. He's got the accent mixed up between Deep South America and Yorkshire, and he's very, very dirty.
It's really funny.
Right.
It's really good.
Well, I'm looking at my glamorous assistant has pulled up a... is that Cliff Richard? Blimey, he looks a bit wet.
Creating a rugged look.
Rugged. I would not have guessed that was him if I had sat here from now until the end of time.
That's very Pierce Brosnan. Yeah,
really he looks a bit like Pierce Brosnan. Yeah, it looks like Pierce Brosnan's been he's been stranded on a desert island for 6 weeks and then has been dragged through a hedge backwards. Terrible.
But if you listen to the lines and he tries to add weight, I honestly thought it's a spoof. I thought Saturday Night Live's been onto this. Christopher Guest's been on this. And aside from that, quickly, can I say, for people who like photography, and like a laugh, Google the Caravan Gallery. It's like Martin Parr, but with a dash of humour.
Well, Martin Parr has got no end of humour.
It's got loads of it in Spadesville, yeah.
Yeah, but you said that it's like Martin Parr with a dash of humour, but there's no end of humour in Martin Parr's work.
That's true. Yeah. I got that wrong.
You got that wrong.
Is, this is non-professionals. No, this is professionals, sorry, but...
Joanne, you are all over the place.
I am really mixed up about that. Do you know, I study photography and painting.
And you learned nothing.
Yeah, I just look at that video.
With Cliff Richard in it, yeah.
Yeah,
okay, well, it sounds like homework you've just given me, and so I'm going to think about that very strongly and come to the conclusion that, no, I do not want to look at anything of the sort. I mean, I respect Cliff Richard because of his longevity. I mean, that man has been in the in this business for so long. But I wouldn't actually rush to go and see any of his work. Just not my thing. A Devil Woman was a pretty good song. Other than that, can't think of anything. Jamie in East Sussex says, I'd love to know what car you have. I have an Alfa Romeo, says Jamie. He's like showing him... showing me his, so I'll show him mine. I've got a black car, Jamie. I don't, actually. It's not a black car. It's another colour. There you are. That's a full and frank disclosure. Stephen says, I'm the editor of a Vauxhall Classic Car magazine, and I'm the wokest man alive. No, Stephen, you aren't, for the above reasons. A Vauxhall Classic Car magazine... How many pages has that got? There are no classic Vauxhall cars. I bet if I asked the World Wide Web to show me a picture of a classic Vauxhall car, it wouldn't be able to do it. I'll ask it by using my mouth, not my thumbs. Vauxhall classic car. See what it comes up with. Oh, wow. Okay, so I was wrong. But that's a very, very old car. I mean, that's an ancient... Oh, well, Vauxhall. Yeah. Okay, I take that back. But they just look like shrunken American cars, apart from the really, really old one. You know, during the 1970s, we had like the Ford Capri and stuff like that. We sort of tentatively dabbled in fins, but not to the extent that Americans did. Our American-style cars looked like American cars that had been put through a tumble dryer. They were just much, much smaller and much less exciting to look at. I suppose because we didn't have the space. You know, the roads over here are microscopic, very, very thin, and they weave and they wind. In America, I think you could pretty much drive for years without needing to turn a corner. I think that's an actual fact. James in Ealing says, I can't believe all the callers who aren't photographers claiming to have photography solved, only to insist it's all burst photography. As in, you take a lot of pictures all in the 1 second and then pick the best one. These are messages from last night, by the way. If you're thinking, what on earth has this got to do with what we've been talking about already? Nothing at all. He says, I think people owning iPhones have convinced them that low-effort, nice-looking postcard shots constitute artistic endeavour. People weren't like this when graphical calculators first came out. No one suddenly thought that trigonometry was easy and subsequently thought that they had solved maths. Well, okay. I do remember the first calculators that came out. They were an absolute fortune. And my dad got me one. And to this day, I still don't have any idea what 90% of those buttons are for. I mean, it's absolutely festooned with buttons and knobs and things like cosine. And I don't think anybody even knows what a cosine is. 6 6s are 52. It's perfectly simple. Just learn your multiplication table. It's easy. An idiot could do it. 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 10:30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The British Chambers of Commerce is urging the government to continue dialogue with counterparts in the US. Following Donald Trump's latest announcement on tariffs, the US president says the levies he announced last night, following a Supreme Court ruling, will rise from 10 to 15%. Former Prime Minister Boris Johnson has called for British troops to be sent to Ukraine. He says their deployment in a non-combat role would show support for the country's sovereignty. And NASA's new moon rocket, Artemis II, has suffered another setback. It's thought to relate to the flow of helium to the upper stages of the craft. LBC weather, cloudy and wet for many areas this evening. Clear conditions, but still with showers, will eventually move into Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight. We'll see a low of around 5 degrees.
This is LBC.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling. And smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go. In a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Go where umbrellas are for cocktails. There's still time to get up to £300 off city breaks in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATOL protected. T's and C's apply.
When it comes to retirement advice, the last thing you want is to be put in a bucket. Seen as this type of person or that type of person. At Fisher Investments UK, we never put you in a bucket. We always tailor retirement advice that's just right for you. Fisher Investments UK. Retirement advice that's as individual as you are. Learn more at fisherinvestments.co.uk. Investing involves the risk of loss. Fisher Investments UK is regulated by the UK Financial Conduct Authority.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Are you trying to tell me that this is your act?
Yes, and coincidentally, Malcolm last night texted the following. Is this the real Nick Abbott show? Yes, I'm afraid it is. Yes, this is it. You're listening to it right now. Daniel says, two questions. Are we still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? And does Andrew still insist he's done absolutely nothing wrong? Just asking questions, says Daniel. And Jake in Hales Owen says, the whole world of politics is in turmoil and we need political experts to guide us through all of this mess. But unfortunately, they're all too busy either driving taxis or cutting hair. Yeah, that's right. The very same people who say, you know, whenever a footballer says anything political, they say, oh, well, what's he know? He wants to stick to football. The very same people give us no end of their opinion, and they aren't political experts. They're busy driving taxis or cutting hair. Exactly. Same people who shout about Gary Neville, well, he wants to stick to what he knows, are giving us the benefit of what they don't know. In large amounts. If only hairdressers had that same button that... sorry about this, Cavis. You might want to put your fingers in... If it is safe to do so, put your fingers in your ears and hum to yourself for a couple of minutes. If only hairdressers had that button that they have in the back of black cabs that turns the microphone off and then you then you can't hear the driver anymore. I'm just saying... It would be a positive addition to the barbers. That's all I'm saying. 0345-6060-973. Croydon, Venky. Venky.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Great show, Nick. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making your call.
I had sort of 2 points, and they are colour-coded.
A couple of 3 points, yeah.
Yes. One is an orange point and one is a sort of green point.
A greeny point. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. I'll start with the orange point. So I was in the U.S. for 3 weeks, starting from Jan. Not for pleasure. Had to go there for work. And I was in three states, actually. I was in Vegas, I was in Florida, and sort of New York, New Jersey.
Yeah, you know that Vegas isn't a state, but never mind.
Well, yeah, Nevada, but I was in Vegas, yes, okay.
How much did you lose in Las Vegas?
I didn't.
Right, that's a wise decision.
Yeah.
Who was on that, the Fabo Dome, or whatever they call that big luminous...
Oh, the eye.
Yeah.
The sphere.
Yeah. Who was on there?
The sphere. Yeah, it was the... there was a musical going on there. What was it called?
I don't know. You're asking me for?
No, it's a musical. It's the one with the green... hat, the witch thing.
Oh, the witch thing. Yes, I've walked out of that.
Boring!
I didn't go there. I actually saw another much more risque show in at the Palazzo.
Oh, naughty, naughty.
Indeed. It was much better. Yeah. But yeah, there was one of those, the eye thing. But the eye thing is just wonderful to look at.
Yes.
I mean, it, you know...
I'm disappointed that they aren't going to build one here, because they were going to build one here. I mean, it was going to be out in Greenwich, you know, sort of out there on the peninsula, whatever they call it. But I think that the locals, the people who had been... persuaded that it was a good idea to buy flats there, they're probably ruining that decision now. I don't know, but they said, we might object to having something that's that bright off our balconies 24 hours a day. And I can understand their point.
No, it is. I could see it from the from both the Venetian.
You can see it from space.
It is so bright, and it changes color. Yeah. So you, in the night, you get the moon, and in the morning, it sort of goes into the, starts becoming brighter.
Yeah, sunrise mode.
It's just ginormous, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
Now I've forgotten my point. Oh, the orange point.
Yeah, you color-coded them so that you will remember what you were going to say. First orange, then green, remember?
Correct. The orange point. And this was when I was there, this was the time when the orange one was just talking about taking over the elections. You know, he had this idea that
He was going to nationalize the elections so that everybody, where they cast a vote, they hand that vote to Donald Trump personally, and he decides whether it gets put in the big box. Yeah,
that's right. And so he had this thing, you know, it was on the news everywhere, obviously. When I landed in Florida, and, you know, as you know, in Florida, most of the TV stations are tuned to kind of Newsmax and Fox News and, you know, those ding-a-ling channels.
Mm-hmm.
This topic was being discussed, and the way they were discussing this, it was, they had all of the talking points, all of the commentators had talking points. The Republicans were very clear, this is the best way of doing things and why they should be doing things and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was, you know, none of this thing about, you know, stateside...
states' rights. Know, it's amazing. All of the Republicans, everything that they ever believed in has been just dropped by the wayside on the merest suggestion by Donald Trump that we don't want to do that anymore. And, you know, all of their principles, they've just abandoned like old clothes.
It was astonishing. Every single channel that was in there, all of the right-wing guys, they all had everything ready to go. It was, it was clearly a plan.
We want to take over the elections for your safety. Yeah.
It was literally like that. Now, I flew over to New York from there. And in one of those, you know, in over there, you get sort of other channels as well.
Mm.
And I was listening to sort of MSN, I think it's called MS Now. It used to be called MSNBC. They call it MS Now.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit more sort of more real. As in it's got, you know, other than the Republicans, you get the Democrat guys mm-hmm. coming in there as well. And the contrast was astonishing. Now, here you have the senior Democrats talking about sort of Section 5 and Amendment 14, and which says, hey, you know, you can't do this because...
Yeah, basically doing the Republicans' job for them, because they have all removed their spines and prostrated themselves in front of Orange Jesus for him to use them as a doormat.
I mean, the way they were discussing this, it almost felt like their thinking was that this is some sort of a gentlemanly disagreement on constitutional terms.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's infuriating. The Democrats, the left in general, they really need to get their act together, because they are always after bringing a book of poetry to a knife fight.
I was listening to this with open mouth. I'm like, are you even hearing yourself? Do you know that you are in a gunfight?
Yeah, exactly. I read the American press, and it's just absolutely infuriating. They just don't understand what is happening to them. It's a coup. He's not even pretending otherwise now. He is taking over your country. It's already too late, so just do something.
Do anything. I mean, it is literally do anything. Yeah. But, you know, don't come in there and don't talk as if this is some sort
It's all normal, know. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. The things are going to change after the next election. Hey, hey, Americans, there's not going to be a next election. I have this fight with Simon Marks all the time. Simon Marks is LBC's excellent US correspondent. Yeah. And I keep telling him, you know, don't sleep in the same place twice. Take the SIM card out of your phone and don't make any contact with anybody. And, you know, don't leave any trail behind you. Don't use credit cards, always cash. You're in great danger, Simon. I keep telling him that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the green point.
I heard about this. Actually, I heard it on catch-up. I think it was your Sunday show where you were talking something serious, and it was perhaps it was Rose from Tavistock, and you were talking about, you know, the green stuff. You were talking about weed.
Yeah.
And she went on about something around, you know, giving paranoia. It was a little bit of a. It was a hot sort of discussion. And one of the things that I realized, hot in the sense, she got a little bit upset. One of the things I realized is, I think it's because folks like Rose, and I don't know who she is, but folks like her have really not been to one of these sort of salubrious type parlors that they have in the U.S. now.
Well, it's not just the U.S. They're everywhere apart from here, pretty much. We are so behind the curve as far as almost all of our major Western competitor countries. It's just extraordinary that we've still got this pretense that we can win the war on drugs. The war on drugs was lost about 50 years ago.
And the way that they have done this, and even in places which, you know, you would consider to be sort of generally conservative... in the U.S., these are well-lighted and sort of air-conditioned and really nice, you know, places. You walk in there, it is like, you know, you're in a cafe.
Right.
You sit down, you know, they tell you, there are people who come and guide you, you know, what would you like to do, you know, would you like to have
it's
something
like being
to
in eat? A, like being in a cafe. Would you like to see the menu?
Exactly that. And it is just completely normal. And, you know, people were walking around in Denver, Colorado.
You know what? People are doing it there and people are doing it here. It's just that the difference is that people over there know what they're taking. People over here don't know what they're taking until they've taken it.
And even more is the loss of tax. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. Yeah, I mean, we are in want of money, honey. And there's a vast amount of it out there. All we've got to do is take it. And the government seems to be refusing to just pick it up. Amazing. It is not as though there's not any examples near here. You could see other countries with your naked eye from here that are have given up on this ridiculous war on drugs. We did have a war on drugs. Guess what? Drugs won. All right, thanks a lot, Venky. 0345-6060-6060-973. Yeah, the drugs won. Hey, Donnie.
I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world, he knows more about grass than anybody. Anywhere in the world. I mean, just on that, what kind of a... Have you ever in your life heard anybody say that they know more about anything than anyone? And it doesn't really matter what the subject at hand is. He knows more about whatever it is that you're talking about than anyone. Have you ever in your entire life heard anybody say that out loud? And he says it about everything. He knows more about grass. I mean, admittedly, it's not that kind of grass he was talking about. Or was it? I've got no idea. Who can tell what he's talking about? I bet he doesn't even know. I know more about grass than anybody. And the things that he doesn't know about, well, I mean, they're not really worth knowing.
Magnets. Now, nobody knows what magnets are.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
A prime minister in office, but not in power.
There's only now a matter of when he goes, not if he goes.
A government that's a bit of a joke and falling flat.
Chancellor, I've got something for you. Happy Pancake Day.
Thank you very much, Prime Minister.
But if the government loses a crucial by-election in Gorton and Denton next week...
What we all need to do now is drive the pace of change. That means greater unity.
Is it time to handy over to Andy?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back Monday morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Darling, hold
my hand. Nothing beats that just booked feeling. Because when you book a Jet 2 holiday, you start dreaming of pool days and seeing the sights. Get ahead for summer. Book now with just a £60 deposit per person. Choose from our best rooms and hotels and save £200 per couple. Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. Package holidays you can trust. Astro Natural Protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
On your marks. Get set. Go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling. And smoother than your last online date. More confidence. More go. In a new hybrid engine. With 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
Tax is changing from April 2026.
If you're a sole trader or a landlord
with a turnover above £50,000,
you'll need to use recognised software to keep records
and send quarterly updates of your income and expenses.
There's no avoiding it. Tax is changing. Get ready. Search HMRC Making Tax Digital.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him, and I just don't know anything about him.
Just doesn't know anything about me. George says, Nick, I am thoroughly cheesed off. The USA is becoming unrecognizable. People are still believing that Farage is just like them and a good guy to share a pint with, and the royal family is going to pot. But to top it off, we lost we lost the curling. Please make it better. Curling. Yeah, that's one of those sports that nobody's remotely interested in unless it's got the Olympic rings appended to it. I mean, outside the Olympics, when did you last watch curling? Never. Right? But it's suddenly gripping the nation like it's the most exciting thing that anybody's ever seen. It's just, it's a bit like snooker, but less pleasant to look at. And even slower. I don't really get it. I mean, I do kind of get it. It's a bit like meditation, isn't it? Your brain goes into a sort of, I can't remember the exact term. Is it an alpha wave? It's probably an alpha wave. James says, hi, Nick, did you hear that? Did you hear Trump during his tariff hurty speech say saying that a big, powerful man wanted to kiss him? He only mentioned it a couple of times, so I'm sure he's not been thinking about it much. Well, was he a white guy? Because
I'm doing great with
black men.
Doing great with black men. I don't know how he's doing with white men. So maybe it was a black man that he was thinking about kissing. Hey, Malaria, your husband is thinking about kissing men.
I don't care.
She's not that bothered. 0345-6060-973. Bodmin. Hello, Malcolm.
Hi, Nicholas.
Malcolm.
This is Malcolm in Bodmin, and thank you for having me on your great show.
Well, appreciate it.
Thank you.
I've been on LBC before with legends like Nicholas in the morning and James in the...
In the morning, yes.
And here I am talking to you late at night.
Right. Do you ever sleep?
Nicholas, can I thank your great callers...
Refusing to answer the question. Go ahead.
From Nicholas, wait. Can I thank you and your great callers last night for recommending my name and say Malcolm is right on everything and... Yeah, he is.
I don't recall anything of the sort happening on this super show. No.
Well, you don't recall anything, do you? Because you are always sleeping, Nicholas.
Always sleeping, yeah. Straight through this show. It's an excellent time to have a nap. Very, very warm and quiet in here.
Nick, this is a great show, and I love you, and I love all of your callers.
Malcolm, have you been drinking?
No.
Is that a yes?
No, and that's why I'm calling, Nick. I'm calling you because I just have to say to you that Wales were very good at rugby today. We
lost. Rugby.
Boring. Yeah.
Please, tell me less.
Yeah, and Merthyr Kidwell in Wales is a great place,
is
right?
Is it? What's so great about Merthyr Tydfil?
Jeff.
No, come on. Something else.
Yeah, all right. The Hoover Factory.
Oh, the Hoover Factory. Okay. Is it an Art Deco facility?
Art Deco architecture, right. But let me give another one. The Art Deco building in Plymouth, right, which isn't far from me, which I lived very, very close to.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of Plymouth, not Mill Bay, but not far from that.
Mm-hmm.
But, what was it called? The Art Deco building, the Habitat.
Oh, the Habitat building, yes.
In Plymouth Neck, which was the most stunning. And you look at it now from Google Earth, Nick. It is beautiful, Nick.
I'm going to ask you that question one more time, Malcolm. And I want you to give me a full and frank answer.
No, I haven't, Nick.
Really?
No. Yeah, really, mate. Right. Okay, a bottle or so.
Couple of three bottles.
Booze.
Yeah.
But, Nick, look, my man, stay on the air.
Yes.
Stay with us and just keep on doing what you do.
Keep on keeping on. Thanks a lot, Malcolm. That is excellent advice. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Natasha says, in the 60s, my parents used to put their suitcase on the back seat of their little Mini Cooper with me perched on top, drive to Lyd Airport and put the car on the plane to France. What? Is that allowed? Did you have to book premium economy to get the car on the plane? Huh. Millie says, I was taught the French horn. Not because I wanted to play the French horn, but because it was the only instrument the school had and my family were too poor, to buy anything better than a recorder. Well, anything's better than a recorder. I mean, those things are painful. Well, at least whenever I've heard a recorder being played, it was painful, but that's because, tiny children are the only ones that play recorders. Making them painful. I mean, they could probably make a delightful sound. I don't know. I've never heard one do that. The French horn. Well, that's a bit big, and it's a bit of an exotic instrument for this school to have only that as, available for you to play. Maybe it was the last thing on the list that everybody else had refused. Oh, I don't want to play that. I want to play the recorder, they thought. Or the flute. I mean, if you're going to pick a musical instrument, then this is excellent advice. Pick one that's easy to carry, because you're going to be carrying it a lot. Mark says, another Trump bingo card. He will threaten Brazil with 100% tariffs unless they replace the statue of Christ of the Redeemer with a statue of himself. Yeah, I think that is on the list already. Not necessarily that specific, but he is going to require a very, very large statue of himself in gold to be placed somewhere public. Tom in Plymouth says, Trump's releasing the alien files. Coming soon, beautiful aliens, the best. Nobody's ever seen aliens like this. Yes. Well, I wonder what's going to come of that, if anything at all. It's just one of those things that he says maybe off the top of his head and no, nothing comes of it. But we do have lodged the promise that we're going to be getting a lot more information about ETs. And I'll come to that in a minute. There's so much to talk about. There's Liz Truss's new club. Liz Truss has got a new club. Can you believe that? She's trying to get members. Anybody want to go?
No.
Yeah, it's a no from me. Not that I'd be invited, but if I was, I'd say no. I wouldn't even say no thank you, because, you know, to hell with it. Being polite is not necessary at all times.
Be polite!
I just won't. Cliff in Bulgaria says, Nick, Trump's brain was analysed. The left side is not quite right. The right side has nothing left. A listener with material.
Oh, no.
0345-6060-973. East Yorkshire. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Yes, good, thanks.
Good, good. Couple of bits, and then just a word on the war on drugs as well. But I read this week that Liz Truss, I was aware she'd set up her own TV channel on YouTube or whatever. And there was a report this week. She's done 21 episodes. And our average worldwide viewing figures are 8,000.
8,000? Wow.
Can nobody ask this woman, why are you still speaking?
Yes. I mean, I wonder if any of this actually gets through to her. Whether she... Because she seems to be completely dissociated from what an ordinary person in the street might call reality.
I don't know what else you can say other than that.
No, she doesn't seem to have any comprehension of how she is observed by others, what people think of her. She just carries on regardless. I mean, you have to have a kind of respect for that to just blast through everybody else's complete disinterest.
I mean, she appeared on TV on one of those American conservative conference things.
Right.
And when the camera scanned around, there was nobody there. And she keeps doing it.
Yeah. Well, she probably thought, well, you know, there's an enormous crowd outside and they couldn't physically squeeze through the doors. They all tried to get through the doors at the same time. And Laurel and Hardy style, they got stuck between the doorposts. And that's why nobody has actually got in. Probably something like that. Yeah. You keep going, Liz. I'm sure it'll all work out for you eventually.
The other bit was Honest Bob. He was on Question Time this week, and it confirmed something that I'd figured out from the press conferences, because I used to be mates with a guy who analysed police interview tapes.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gave his opinion on whether the suspect was lying, telling the truth, or whatever. And he taught me quite a bit of stuff. And I was watching Jenrick on Question Time, and he's a good performer. He can lie effortlessly, blah, 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 blah. But whenever he had to say something like, Nigel has decided that, or Nigel has told us that, his jaw stiffened, his shoulders stiffened, which is an indication of anger.
It's a tell.
He did not like having to play second fiddle.
Well, I would like to play poker with Robert Jenrick. armed with that information.
And the other thing was, when you go back to the press conferences that were given earlier, he was speaking and then somebody would ask a question and Farage fielded the question.
Yeah.
You look at his body language. He was furious that he was speaking. It was his floor.
Yeah.
But he wasn't being allowed to answer.
Right,
If they get through 3.5 years together...
No way.
I'll be stunned.
Yeah, I think there may be trouble ahead. Yeah. And it couldn't happen to a nicer couple. All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Excellent news. 0345 6060 973. Let's see. Let's squeeze one in. This is too long. Too long. People are sending me like books, like, well, at least pamphlets instead of a couple of lines. Sully says, please don't insult chimps or animal creatures with Trump. I can barely consider him an amoeba or cyclops, and their pond life, says Scully, or Sully, rather. Well, that's a bit rude, but right on the nose. 0345-6060-973. Oh, I've got your Beckham family update on the way.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. President Trump has announced he's increasing his new global tariffs from 10 to 15%. They were introduced at the lower level on Friday after the US Supreme Court ruled his previous policies on the levies were illegal. Professor Alan B. Morrison is from the George Washington University Law School. He's been telling LBC the Trump administration needs tariffs.
Our budget is way out of balance, and he's been talking about and relying on tariffs that the not only is he not going to get the new tariffs, but he's going to have to pay out about $150 or $170 billion in the tariffs that he's already illegally collected. And that's going to exacerbate his budget deficit problems.
Police investigating the death of a teenager who was stabbed in the West Midlands say he was an 18-year-old called Zeshan Afzal. The 18-year-old died after being attacked in Smethwick last night. Two other men were also injured outside a mosque. Bodies have been found by the authorities in North Wales who've been searching for two men missing in Snowdonia. Concerns were raised about the welfare of the 19 and 20-year-olds on Wednesday. LBC's Jordan Howell has more.
North Wales Police say several search crews, including mountain rescue teams and the Coast Guard, were deployed to Arwyddfa, which is known to many as Snowdon. The Llanberis Mountain Rescue Team say their volunteers were met with not only challenging mountain terrain, but difficult wintry conditions, including snow and ice. We're told the multi-agency operation continued through the night, with searches resuming on Thursday morning. The bodies were recovered as part of that operation. North Wales Police say the men's families have been informed.
So-called Islamic State has claimed responsibility for two attacks against the Syrian army. It's also signalling a new phase of operations against the country's leadership. In sport this evening, Great Britain's medal tally at the Winter Olympics has risen to four, thanks to a silver for the men's curling team. They were beaten 9-6 at the final in Cortina by Canada. And Coventry have extended their lead at the top of the championship following a 2-0 win against West Bromwich Albion. Second place Middlesbrough were held to a goalless draw by relegation battlers Oxford. LBC weather cloudy and wet for many areas this evening before clearer conditions develop, but showers will eventually move into Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight. We'll see a low of around 5 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Thank you.
I like him. He's a good man. He is not a racist. I can tell you that. He's a good person.
Thanks, Donnie. You're the best. You're the best worst president ever. Matt says, hi, Nick. Does Melania care about Trump's tariff fiasco? Matt just wants me to play that Melania clip. And I'm not going to do it. It's not a request show, Matt. Let's have Ipswich. Phil.
Nick, you've been on my mind, in my head, for the last week or so.
Yeah.
Because a few weeks ago, I had a brief conversation with you about an age-old subject of, is it okay to like creative artistry from people who you don't like?
Or yes, 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 yes. You have to take the art from the artist. Otherwise, music radio would be silent and yes, galleries would be nothing but wallpaper.
Well, my thing is books. I know it's not your thing, but I love books. I read a lot of them and I collect them and everything else. And the thing that triggered me to call you up was that I was booked to go and see an author. I'm trying very hard not to name them.
Yeah.
Their work is actually very good. I have enjoyed several of their books and I think their writing is genuinely very good. But they're awful. And I went and... I went to an event with them the other night, and I was sitting there listening to about 45 minutes of almost uninterrupted far-right racist claptrap.
Well, you, okay, but you're not differentiating, you're not taking the art from the artist. You're taking them both at the same time.
Well, they were talking about their new book, which is
there. I mean, that's very good, not giving us even the sex of the person.
I'm trying hard not to.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to narrow it down very much, you know.
No, I know, but your glamorous assistant also warned me not to as well.
And okay.
I was kind of determined not to anyway.
All right, then.
The event...
I wonder if my glamorous assistant can put their name up on my screen so I can... At least I know who we're talking about.
I didn't even tell the glamorous assistant.
Oh, okay, right.
Anyway, so I'm listening to this event, and the author is talking about their work, except what they're actually talking about is immigration. And because of the nature of the event, it was basically just 45 minutes of almost uninterrupted right-wing gibberish.
Yes.
And I was reminded of years and years ago, there was an episode of Any Questions with Daniel Hannan talking right-wing gibberish and Max Hastings. And after Hannan had said his nonsense, Max Hastings said, "That's fascinating. I've never heard so much pure right-wing thought, completely and utterly unaffected by reality. It's wonderful. Thank you for saying that." By the end, I was feeling sick. I mean, genuinely sick.
Well, why would you, knowing that person's opinions, regardless of whether they are a good writer or not, why would you subject yourself to that person rather than just enjoy their writing?
Because I collect books and I collect first editions, and I really wanted their signature on their best known book, which I got.
Okay.
So I did all that, and I mean, it was the thing that turned my stomach. You're kind of used to them saying, "Oh, I'd get rid of the ECHR and I'd obviously scrap this and scrap that." They want to scrap the Equality Act and end the asylum system, all of it, just all asylum.
Yes, I wonder what you know if they were allowed to do all of that, all of the things that those right wingers say that we need to. Because first it was, vote for Brexit, and then all of your lives will be improved dramatically. And then Brexit came and went, and they said, it didn't work because of, you know, outside forces beyond my control, or it's somebody else's fault, or it's because, you know, the wind wasn't blowing correctly that day, or because they keep coming over here. There was always some reason why what they said would work, why what they said would work didn't work. And so I wonder if they were given 100% control to do all of the things that they want, would they then stop complaining? And I know that the answer is no, they would not.
They wouldn't, absolutely not. No, because as you said, they won everything. They won every vote, every election, and they're still complaining.
Complain.
Stop whining.
Yeah. So did you get the autograph?
I did.
Yeah. Did it increase the value of that book any?
Yes.
It did. Okay,
I did,
job done.
I'm not really bothered about that because I just like having them, you know. And it's the thing there. So
it's a memento of a hideous afternoon spent in their company.
it really was hideous. Oh, and of course, what we need to have is more young women need to have babies. Yes.
Whether they want to or not.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Got to go. Thanks a lot, Phil. Yeah, have to take the art from the artist. Don't even think about it. Because, I mean, I was listening to the radio coming up and somebody came on who I have always liked their work, but they had enough said some stupid things lately. You know, one of those people that just said a lot of stupid things lately. You pick a subject and they've said a stupid thing about it. And they continue to disappoint me over and over again. It's a bit different for a rocker because you expect them to be a bit, you know, relaxed about life. But this bloke, I suppose with everybody else, you know, mostly they get more and more right-wing as they get older. But I wouldn't have expected it from a rocker. But this bloke, he keeps, you know, giving his opinion about what Brexit was going to be like, and then about the blooming vaccines and the lockdowns, and the, you know, if there was some knee-jerk right-wing opinion that flitted across his brow that he didn't say out loud, then I'm unaware of it. And I thought, can I actually listen to this bloke's music anymore? And I thought, yes, actually, I can. Because I'll just ignore all of the stupid things that he says and just concentrate on all the great music he's made. Problem solved.
Rock and roll!
0345-6060-973. Let's see now. York. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Nick. How
Jan,
are you?
Jan, I am great, mate.
Good. Before I say what I rang up about, when I was a kid, we had a Ford Anglia. And
oh, right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. They're like an American car, but shrunk.
Well, yeah, I've just looked it up now, and it said it featured American-inspired styling.
Yes.
Well, that is something I would never have thought about the Ford Anglia.
The fins at the back. And
yeah.
And it was so tentative and almost embarrassed we were in this country, taking some of those design cues from American cars of the 50s and 60s, which just went so over the top. I mean, I think the most over-the-top car that has ever been designed, I think it was the 1959 Cadillac DeVille. I may have got some of those details wrong, but it was the one with the massive fin on the back with two red lights, one either side of the fin, that looked like the engines on a rocket. Absolutely sensational car. And we looked at that, the designers of British cars looked at that and thought, well, it's got to be half as long, because those cars, they had two doors and they were as long as a bus. Absolutely huge. So we've got to shrink it by at least 50%. And we're going to take those cues, those design cues for the fins, and we're just going to have a little, almost embarrassed little fin on the back of our car, just, you know, so we don't upset the vicar.
That's right. Yeah, that's something I would never have thought of. When my dad got the Ford Anglia, I thought, oh, no, can't we have something better?
But what would have been better at that point? I mean, was the Rover TC2000 not available? Because I think that was the best car that my family ever had. It was almost as though my dad, by accident, bought a classic car. Because it was the only great car we ever had. The Rover, it was a racing green Rover TC2000. Look it up.
Right.
That is a classic.
I will look it up. And I was shocked at the price of the Ford Anglia as well. £600.
£600?
Yeah.
Blimey. I bet it would be considerably more than that now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I rang up about.
Right.
We call Boris Johnson Bodger, don't
Bodger,
we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other day I found out a bodger can be something else. It's a wood turner.
A what?
A wood turner. Did you know that?
What's a wood turner?
Well, they used to make chair legs.
Yeah. On a lathe.
Yes. But they did it, you know, all by hand, and these are traditional wood turners, and they used to work in the woods with a traditional pole lathe.
Yeah.
And they made chair legs.
So which bit was the bodger?
The chap doing it.
Oh, the bloke was the bodger.
Yeah.
He was using a lathe in the wood. Curiously, he was in the woods. Now, why would he do that? Why wasn't he doing it in his shed?
Well, maybe he didn't have a shed. We're going back a few years now.
Right. They were, they were bereft of sheds in the old days.
Exactly,
A new invention.
But that is something I would never have thought Boris Johnson could do. What do you think?
A wood turner. I don't think he can do anything. Man can't even, he can't even dress himself.
Well, we know he can clean chairs, don't we?
Actually, no. We know that he's once seen somebody else clean a chair and made an approximation of it, or what he thought was close, but I don't believe that was actually cleaning a chair. No.
Don't you?
But that is a great memory.
Yeah, that reminds me of something else. Do you remember the old tea advert from the 70s with the chimps in?
With the chimps in, yeah.
Yeah. They were good, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
I don't really like people dressing animals up.
No, anthropomorphizing them. I think that's the word.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, but they were funny, weren't they?
Yes. Who doesn't like chimps mucking about?
And when they were trying to get the piano down the stairs.
Oh yeah.
And the lad said, "Dad, do you know the piano's on my foot?"
He said, "You hum it, and I'll play it." Yeah.
Exactly.
These are the memories. All right. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Jan.
All right.
Cheers, buddy. Ta-da. 0345 6060973. You're a bodger, Bodge.
I can't comment on that.
This is LBC.
Okay, done. Move that. And, oh, new ways to invest. Okay. Foolproof guaranteed returns. Invest today. All right, I think I will.
Way before you seal the deal, check if it's real and if a company's authorised by the FCA.
Oh, thanks.
Search FCA Firm Checker.
And when teams feel supported, they can achieve anything.
Sorry, just had even more of my team are off ill.
Have you tried Benenden Health? It's easy to set up. They've got a GP helpline you can book 24/7.
Where were we?
A coffee break, hopefully.
Press play on your people's health with a wide range of healthcare services for less than £16 per employee per month. Search Benenden for Business. Fee reviewed periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Attention dogs, this is not a drill. If your dinner comes in dodgy brown balls or smells suspicious, at best, you deserve to know this. Butternut Box makes fresh dog food with ingredients you'd find in your human's fridge. In fact, some humans have even tasted it. For quality control, obviously. Anyway, let's hope your human was listening. Butternut Box. Fresh food, happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Nobody.
Matt says, does Melania care about Trump's tariff fiasco? Just wanted me to play that Melania clip. Not going to do it. Tim says, Nick, do you remember the old-style mini hot dog van? I last saw one in 1967, and I've never seen another one since. They did exist, though. I've never heard of it. A mini hot dog van. That's it's a mystery to me. As much of a mystery as whatever was in those hot dogs.
My dog's been taken.
It could have been that. That's the reason why his dog's been taken. Or it could have been worse.
They're eating the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
That's what's coming out of those mini hot dog vans. This says, Nick Abbott, I beg to differ. I am, as in beg to differ from the worst instrument to pick for having to cart it around. You see, these tiny kids who've just come out of school, obviously. They've just come out of music practice, and they're carting around a double bass. It's bigger than they are. Why would you pick that, you idiot, I think? I don't say it, because, you know, stabbings and all. Says, Nick Abbott, I beg to differ. I am a metal drummer, and I used to use two bass drums, four rack toms, one floor tom, a snare drum, and 13 cymbals. That's much worse than a double bass to cart around. No way I was taking all that for a walk on the tube, even if I was an octopus. Well, that's almost as good as a piano, because you would have to have somebody take that for you. There's no way you can carry any of that. And 13 cymbals? Really? Do you really need 13? Because I think the drummer of a little band called the Rolling Stones got away with one, two tops.
Rock and roll!
13. You're not in Emerson, Lake and Palmer, you know. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Hi. Good evening, Nick.
Yes,
how are you?
Jan, I am great, mate.
Yes. So I've got... it's about Trump and how his... Actually, this is good news, isn't it? His popularity is diving. And this, they're putting it down... What they're calling it... I don't know if you've got it on your bingo card. TFS. Trump... Fatigue syndrome.
Trump fatigue syndrome. We're very, very fatigued of you, Donnie.
Oh,
no, because look, he's it's saying the latest polls in the states are saying that, you know, what his second term began as they're describing it as a shock and awe, shock and awe at the beginning of his big
shock and awful
of his second term.
Yeah.
shock and awe, and grabbing, you know, him always grabbing attention and, you know, boosting his, inflating his ego all
the
time.
And grabbing women.
Touch, feel, that's what I do.
It's what he does.
But Nick, have you seen the, I don't know if this is the latest one, but it looks like it is, but you probably may have mentioned it before, but how there's a huge poster, banner, bearing his portrait, on the, like a flag thing. The
Trump Kennedy Center for Peace and Love and Harmony.
No. This is for the U.S. Department of Justice in Washington.
Right.
And you know, he's self-promoting himself. And it's like they're saying it knows no bounds. And it's actually, it's causing people to actually
crash
turn
their
away
cars.
From him. His own... His own magazine.
The only president in American history that has had worse polling than Donald Trump right now was Donald Trump in his first term.
Oh, his first term.
He's just beaten himself.
Yeah, because but they say that he's overconfident, and like he's
it's all falling apart for him, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. It really is. All of the MAGA people are fighting with each other because of Jeffrey Epstein and his refusal to actually release all of those unredacted files, and people are waking up to the fact that his stupid tariffs is actually costing them, the Americans, money and not other countries. And they really, really object to ICE shooting white people. I mean, it's okay if they shoot other people, you know, they weren't that much bothered about that. But when they start shooting white people, well, those are the wrong kind of people to be shooting.
So Nick, there's another phrase also used, but it seems to have a double sort of meaning, the Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, the only person that has Trump derangement syndrome is Donald Trump.
but there's something about even his, is it Steve Bannon, says that Trump has been governing at muzzle velocity. I mean,
what does even that mean?
Well, but governing at muzzle velocity, as Trump ideologue Steve Bannon calls it, when he's flooding the zone.
Word. Don't repeat the rude word.
No.
Thank you. Appreciate you not repeating the rude word.
Yeah. That Steve Bannon used.
And Steve Bannon is a very naughty boy. In many ways that we can't really get into on here because, you know, I've only got a brief 3-hour show. But I think one of the things that mostly that Americans are very, very angry about is Donald Trump is telling them that prices are down. And they know that when they go to the supermarket, prices are not down. And prices for groceries, I'm talking about.
Groceries. It sort of says a bag with different things in it.
It's a bag with different things in it. I want you to note that down, Jan. Cheers, my dear. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Lucy says, I would rather chew my own toenails than listen to Cliff Richard. Wow. How about chewing somebody else's toenails? There was a time when Cliff Richard, he got upset, I think, because the radio wasn't playing him anymore. Which is kind of unreasonable, you know. Acts come and go, and they have their... Usually they have their moment in the sun, and then, you know, they're not as popular as they once were. So, and plus, I'm sure that radio stations just pick the track, whatever it is that they've released, not on the basis necessarily that they are an artist that they played the last song on. They treat each track as it comes, and do we like this? Will our listeners like this? I may have some of these details wrong, but he was a bit put out by that, or his people were, perhaps. And so, as an experiment, he made a dance track. And I think it was with the help of those people that had all of those songs come out in the 80s. Oh, God, it was absolutely excruciating. Stock, Aitken and Waterman. Ugh. I feel physically ill just saying their name out loud. You know, all that, I should be so lucky, 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 that stuff. Ugh, vomitous. But anyway, I think it was with their help, he made a dance track that didn't have any words on it. It was an instrumental, in fact. And it was kind of indistinguishable from all the other dance tracks that were out at that time, and it was pretty good. And he released this track, and people started to play it because it was a white label. It didn't have any name on it. And it sounded, yeah, it sounded pretty good. And I think the take was, aha, there you are. You do like my music, but not if it's got my name on it. Caught you. But it bore no relation to anything that you have ever heard Cliff Richard do. Now, this is all off the top of my head, and this is ancient history now. It's like 40 years ago, but that's how I recall it. So, and I'm not quite sure why I even got into that. But it was Lucy. It's Lucy's fault. Nothing to do with me. She said she would rather chew somebody else's toenails than listen to Cliff Richard. Well, Devil Woman was a pretty good song. I think you're being unreasonable, Lucy. Craig from Clacton says, I saw some of Brooklyn Beckham's photographs and they are absolutely diabolically bad. Well, comically bad. That he got a book of his photographs actually published is laugh out loud funny. I mean, they're really, really, really bad. It's as though somebody had thrown a camera out the back of a lorry and it had just gone off randomly. And they thought, well, that'll do. Yeah. Job done. Shocking. Oh, you want your Beckham family update? Have I got time for this? Beckham family update. Couple more messages and then I'll get into it. Trish in Worksop says, Nick, Cliff Richard's We Don't Talk Anymore is a fantastic song. Well, it's a song. We can agree on that. Yeah, it's a pretty good song. Yeah, I like that song. I mean, if it came on the radio, I wouldn't turn it off. If it came on the radio and I was in a car, I wouldn't drive into a tree just to make it stop. I'll put it like that. Greg in Cardiff says, I refer to Reform UK as Deform UK, but now a much more apt term is Defect UK in both contexts of the word. And Susan says, hi, Nick. AC/DC are back in South America next week. They play Brazil on Tuesday, and next month they're back at River Plate. So it'll be interesting to see if the crowd are as crazy as they were in 2009. I have said this on this show many times before, but if you want to see the most, how would you describe it? The most crazy crowd you've ever seen at any gig, pull up AC/DC at River Plate. It's on YouTube. They go nuts. I've never seen anything like it. Like 100,000 people all bouncing up and down at the same time to music put out by a bunch of people that look like they should be in a care home. I don't mean to be offensive when I say that, but that's what they look like. They look like very, very old people indeed. But the noise they make is a sensation. Right, your Beckham family update. These are all headlines in the same news site on the same day. Cruz Beckham turns 21. David Beckham, brand's son, fiercely loyal to family and friends, with thinly veiled reference to Brooklyn's ongoing estrangement as he leads tributes. Victoria and David Beckham celebrate son Cruz's 21st birthday at lavish London venue with family as Brooklyn continues to isolate himself from his relatives. God, these are long headlines. Victoria Beckham's sister Louise Adams shares a birthday tribute to David's sibling Joanne after her glow-up as footballer posts throwbacks. Does any of this make sense?
No.
Victoria Beckham shares behind-the-scenes clip of Cruz's bloodied hand after he chopped off the end of his finger in a gruesome accident. Brooklyn Beckham hangs on to his favourite £220,000 watch, gifted by his dad, David, as he brings his own £3,000 wine for dinner with wife Nicole Peltz after erasing his tattoo tributes amid family feud. Cruz Beckham shares sweet snap with My Favourite People as he parties with parents Victoria and David and girlfriend Jackie Apostle. The Spice Girls' 30-year reunion Netflix drama is axed amid ongoing tensions between the girl band. Band. They ain't a band, they're a bunch of singing haircuts. Are the Beckhams and Ramses at war? As Victoria is pictured looking stony-faced at Gordon's Netflix launch, insiders say that the chef's comments about Brooklyn feud have ruffled feathers. Brooklyn Beckham's online snub to Gordon Ramsay after the chef urged him to remember where he came from weeks after he sensationally blocked his parents amid family feud. Victoria Beckham proves her support for Gordon Ramsay as she attends the launch of his new Netflix show after her estranged son Brooklyn unfollowed the chef. Shirtless Brooklyn Beckham passionately kisses Nicola Peltz and says he will forever protect her in latest dig at family amid ongoing feud. And in case you were missing Meghan news, here's an update. How Meghan parted while the Fab Four fell. Did Duchess's ultra-lavish New York baby shower take place while William confronted Harry over her abrasive nature before pushing him into a dog... before pushing him into a dog bowl? You know, in case you've been missing the Meghan news. And there you are, all caught up. Apart from the contents of this news outbreak, update with Tim Daly.
Donald Trump has announced he's increasing his new global tariffs from 10 to 15%. They were introduced at the lower level on Friday after the US Supreme Court ruled his previous policies on levies were illegal. Police investigating the death of a teenager stabbed in the West Midlands say he was an 18-year-old called Zeshan Afzal. He died and two other men were injured after being attacked in Smethwick last night. And so-called Islamic State has claimed responsibility for two attacks against the Syrian army. It's also signalling a new phase of operations against the country's leadership. LBC weather cloudy and wet for many areas this evening. Clear conditions but still with showers moving into Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight. We'll see a low of around 5 degrees.
This is LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down.
Not off,
said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Get extra support with Immunace multivitamins, with vitamin D, zinc and selenium, which contribute to the normal function of the immune system. Immunace from Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company. Verification at vitabiotics.com. From Boots, pharmacies and vitabiotics.com.
Here at Southeastern, we know a bit of good news goes a long way, however big or small it may be. So we wanted to let you know that we're continuing to make improvements across our network. From sprucing up our trains and many of our stations to make your journey nicer, to improving the network to minimise delays, we're investing in making your journey with us better, one step at a time. Find out more at southeasternrailway.co.uk/betterjourneys.
Leading Britain's conversation, Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Oh, hello there. Very nice to meet you.
Yes, what a delight. Sam says, I took my mother to see Cliff Richard live last year. Well, I was the youngest person there by 35 years. Nothing more to report, but I do deserve recognition for taking one for the team. Well, you know, isn't that wrong? I don't know how old Cliff Richard is, but you have to respect somebody who has lasted that long in this business. You just do. Tallulah says, hello, Nick Abbott. I've been watching you since I was knight. Okay, well, I see two mistakes there. First off, you ain't watching me, you're hearing me. You've been listening, perhaps, and not night. You were eight, maybe. So, start again. Hello, Nick Abbott. I've been listening to you since I was eight. I'm 13 now. My name is Tallulah, and you're my favourite person on LBC to be listening to. 13 years old. Isn't it about time you got a job? Just lying about the place, Tallulah. Very, very lazy. Just saying. Dave says, can you play Shut Up or Your Face by Joe Dolce and give a shout out to my mates Rupert, Nigel and Donald? Shut Up or Your Face. Well, let's see if we've got that in the rack. Have we got that in the rack? No? Have we got any Joe Dolce? No? Well, what kind of a station is this? I am outraged. Chippenham. Hello, Karen.
Hello, Nick.
Karen.
Hello. Good evening.
Evening.
So, I was phoning about, the desperate Donald Trump needs a dead cat to throw out his flack or chaff to detract from his latest tariff travails and other challenges.
Yeah.
And so, that's why he's conveniently jumped on the UFO bandwagon,
right.
Barack Obama having been sort of made a joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's promised to release the UFO files. However, some people say that as far as aliens are concerned, that's if that's what they're referring to, you know, these unexplained flying objects.
Yeah.
As far as aliens are concerned, they're already here and living underground, from which I think the question arises, and it's concerning the toxic trillionaire tech troglodytes, because, you know, they've built their underground bunkers. And I'm wondering if these are the aliens that Donald Trump's referring to, you know, that he's going to expose in his UFO files.
A lot of those psycho tech bros do look a bit alien adjacent.
Well, all of them are a bit weird and a bit sort of vacant, and
yes.
Also some of them are at war with each other as well.
Good.
But also, I think to back up that possibility. In fact, I've got to say that, you know, I've just had a look on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and I've actually found I don't know how serious this is, but it's at Harvard University they've got something called the Harvard Human Flourishing Program, and they've got this study where they're looking at what they call so-called extraterrestrials, but they're also calling them crypto-terrestrials. Now, isn't it interesting that Elon Musk and some of these other toxic tech trillionaires, they've been recently talking about crypto and saying that in a year or so's time, you know, our pensions are going to be irrelevant. All the money that people are saving into their pensions, what they've got in their bank and ISAs and that, it's all irrelevant
right.
because they're taking it all away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're imposing crypto, which means they rule the world and we're all subject to their, you know, to their crypto and all their other, you know, plans that they've got for us.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like it. And I think that's what Donald Trump's going to expose. He's going to, you know, put all these extraterrestrial things on the table,
mm-hmm.
reveal the story about the, you know, his tech trillionaires living
yes.
underground and how they're going to impose crypto.
Yeah, so, well, he might be thinking about doing that right up to the point where they hand over a bazillion dollars in cash and tell him how big his hands are.
Sorry, how what his hands are? Oh,
big.
I'm sorry, yes, okay, you don't need to... Yeah, so what are we going to expect in the next week or so?
And I don't know.
It's got to compete with what Barack Obama was telling us about, tongue-in-cheek, I think, the other day.
Yeah, well, he said that, of course, aliens exist, but he hasn't seen any of them personally, which I think was one of those offhand remarks that Donald Trump was going to be talking about from now until the end of time, and he's going to have the FBI and the CIA and ICE and every other acronym you've ever heard of look into that very strongly.
Yeah, but it has been suggested, I mean, going back many, many years, that, you know, as more and more, as these more authoritarian governments are going to, you know, start taking control of things, that we're going to hear about, you know, aliens and things like this,
yeah.
just to distract us. You know,
distractors,
so
yes.
We will get so scared, we're so fearful, that we're going to agree with anything that an authoritarian government says and wants to impose on us. And obviously that's pointing to people now, like Donald Trump.
And the time to resist is now. Hey, kids, wake up. It's later than you think. Thanks a lot, Karen. Appreciate it. 0345 6060973. Martin in Epping says, my first car ever was a Vauxhall Viva in banana custard yellow. It had wing mirrors and door mirrors both in chrome. And that was 1982. The worst car my dad had was an Austin Allegro in a bronze colour. Such an embarrassment. Yeah, an Austin Allegro, one of the ugliest cars that's ever been made. Oh, Dad, what do you want to buy that for? Shocking. Custard yellow. I mean, we sort of recoil from that and think, oh, didn't it come in grey or black? Or at the very most, white. Cars are so boring now, aren't they? They just don't have any design styling at all. I mean, as much as they have any styling of any kind, it's that the stylists have discovered LEDs. You know, they've got strips of lights at the back, and that's about it. Every car on the road looks the blooming same. All those SUVs, those soft roaders. It doesn't really matter what brand you do. I saw an Aston Martin off-roader the other day, and it just looks like it's been made by Ford. I mean, Aston Martins must be the most beautiful cars, among the most beautiful cars that have ever been made. And they make an SUV, and it looks like every other SUV on the road. It could be a Ford, it could be a Volvo, it could be a Vauxhall, it could be anything. They all look the blooming same. Very, and they're all in the same colour. You go to a car park, and unless you remember where you put it, you'll never find it again, because every car looks the same, and they're all in the same colour. They're all in black, or grey, or white. That's it. Why do we get so embarrassed about colour? I don't get it. I mean, we don't necessarily have to go back to the colours that we were using in the 1970s. I mean, I'm not recommending that orange comes back, but a little bit of imagination. I suppose that everybody's petrified that the resale value is going to plummet if they pick a car in green. I mean, green is a good colour for a car, ain't it? It's a good colour for a blackboard. Grass is green.
I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. If you want to know anything about grass, just ask Donnie. Merthyr Tydfil. Hello, Jeff.
Well, Nick, how are you?
Great, mate.
Good. Sorry I missed the programme tonight. I tuned in. At
Oh, don't worry. I missed it too.
I was intending to clock in at 10, but I was watching this fantastic documentary. Can I recommend it to you?
Go on.
It was called 2,000 Meters to Andriivka. It was two cameramen had been assigned to a platoon of the Ukrainian army, of a division, and they were trying to take this village. It was 2 hours long. Nick, I tell you what, if you want to know what warfare is like now,
yeah,
and it will ever be, with the drones and everything else, uh-huh, and the brutality of
right.
it. It was filmed in 23 during the counter-offensive that got nowhere by the Ukrainians.
Right, well let me think about that for a moment.
No.
Absolutely. No. There's enough misery in the world without dipping yourself in a great vat of it. No, thank you.
Okay, Nick. All right. Okay. You know you've got a worldwide net thrown across the world and everybody's listening to. Could I appeal to that? Does anyone of your listeners know of another town or city, for that matter, anywhere in the world that has got three statues to boxers, and I don't mean the shorts, okay?
Well, that would be weird. I mean, that'd be very, very strange. If you had three statues to men's underwear, that would be a bit bizarre. Yeah.
It would.
Even for Merthyr?
Yes, it would.
Who are those boxers? Not that I'll probably have any idea who they are, but go on.
I just wondered, because I thought, I can't think of anywhere else in the UK that's got three statues.
Is one of them John Conti?
No. Right.
Did I get that name right?
He wasn't from Merthyr. He's not Merthyr.
Right.
It's Howard Winston, which a lot of you listeners would know, was a world champion.
Okay.
In 1968.
Right.
The matchstick man, which tragically died in the ring in Los Angeles.
The matchstick man? Who? Larry? I didn't know he fought.
No. And a guy called Eddie Thomas, who was a British and Commonwealth champion.
No idea.
All scattered around Merthyr are these statues to boxers.
I'm as likely to watch a boxing match as I am a documentary on the Ukrainian war.
Yes. I assume that there are a lot of happy Welshmen, because Wales put up some sort of reasonable performance today.
They lost. You're not talking about rugby, are you?
No, okay, forget it.
Okay.
Stop that. Stop. I will stop.
Thank you.
I was just thinking the other day, does Nick know the meaning of the word Senedd? Senedd. You know where the sort of Welsh Parliament
is? Yes. Is it Parliament?
Nope.
Talky place.
What does it sound like, Nick? What does it sound like?
Oh God, this is like being back at school. Oh, please, sir, can I be excused?
Doesn't it sound like Senate?
Senate, yes. Is it Senate?
Yes.
Thanks. Senate. Right.
And you've been invited to the Goose and Cuckoo Senate.
Oh, right.
To give evidence.
I'm banning. I have banned my. I have banned myself from the Goose and Cuckoo.
No, it's okay, Nick. Listen. You've been invited to give evidence, a bit like Andrew has been invited to go to the Senate committee.
No thanks.
I thought you could fly down, you know.
No, I'm washing my hair or my hands or my car. Something is getting washed on that day, I know that for sure.
Well, I'm glad you're not coming because you would have to give evidence against me, in my efforts to get you.
Right. You're glad I'm not coming because you'll be first at the bar and I'll have a pint of, whatever your worst lager is. Thank you. All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. 0345-6060-973. Kathy in Putney, Thev. Hi again. When I was teaching in Rome, we used to go around in a Cinquecento. All eight of us. No. Eight. The inside was painted like the Sistine Chapel. Yeah. Dave says, this isn't a real Nick Abbott show. You've never been ordained. No idea what that means. Anne says, I love maths. Well, you'll love this then.
And one, two.
Three.
6 million.
No. Anne is very upset with you, Zaphod. What were you thinking? He needs one of them calculators, one of them scientific calculators. Do you even know anything about cosines? Or whatever the other buttons on that thing are.
So obviously the but I know suddenly but you know the but obviously
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
A prime minister in office but not in power.
There's only now a matter of when he goes, not if he goes.
A government that's a bit of a joke and falling flat.
Chancellor, I've got something for you. Happy pancake day.
Thank you very much, prime minister.
But if the government loses a crucial by-election in Gorton and Denton next week,
what we all need to do now is drive the pace of change. That means greater unity.
Is it time to handy over to Andy?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast, back Monday morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd pay off my mortgage and my mum's mortgage.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw. But you forget to pay off those mortgages.
Whoops.
Because you're on a cruise with lots of money.
Money cruise, baby!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now from Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
When ordinary people take on extraordinary challenges. When it's the finale after weeks of competition. When it's time to go big or go home.
So, who do you want to win?
Him.
Him?
Good hair.
Classic reason, yeah?
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels. with all the reality shows you love to talk about. Search TV Licence together.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
I didn't like you. Do you like me?
Yeah, sure, why not? Chris says Trump doesn't want to nationalise voting. He wants to control vote counting in 15 particular places. Yeah. Robin in Abel Tasman National Park says, "Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Currently sitting under a cloudless azure sky in 22 degrees centigrade sunshine in New Zealand, about to enjoy a cold beverage.
Booze.
Would you like a daily report on my holiday weather? No, thank you, Robin. We don't wish to know that." Let me just check ahead. Let's see what the weather's going to be like here. Absolutely dreadful so far. I mean, have you ever known a year that starts this badly? It's shocking. Okay, raining tonight and raining tomorrow and raining on Monday and... Look at that, 2 days in a row and it's not going to be raining. Tuesday and... Wow, look at that. Can that be true? Wednesday, it's going to be 17 degrees centigrade.
What?
Where did that come from? I bet that came from New Zealand. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And then it'll be raining on Thursday and raining on Friday and not raining next Saturday and raining all of next week. All of next week raining. But it's getting very warm, very suspiciously warm. 17 degrees. What is that in proper temperature? Double it and add 32. Well, that's easy. Any idiot could do that. So double 17 is 44. And 44 plus 32 is 86. It's going to be 86 degrees Fahrenheit on Wednesday. Can you believe that?
No.
Jeremy says, "I think you're being a little unfair on the US Democrats. They sent another sternly worded letter to Trump yesterday. I'm sure that'll do the job." Yeah, they really do need to wake up. Their country is being taken from them in front of their faces, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're considering sending another sternly worded letter. Speaking of which, New Jersey. Hello, Gerald.
Oh, my gosh. So, hey, Nick, I've been listening to you for 6 years. You're amazing. You're the real king of England. I just want to say that.
All right. Don't tar me with that brush.
So, hey, so 2 weeks ago, I had a dream about you, Nick. I pulled myself out of bed, and I wrote it down, and I was like, I got to try to reach. I'm trying to, you know, I've never been able to make it through. So, all right. So I'm going to
read. You had a dream about me.
Yes, Nick. Yes, I had a dream. And I've only seen that tiny photo of you that's like on your screenshot on the app. I don't even know what you look like. But right. Okay, I don't want you to cut me off. Sorry if I'm nervous. Sorry. So you were having a cocktail party, mm-hmm. and I was standing beside you and getting ice as you were making a libation. I was asking you questions about your work and that if the other presenters were envious of you and your success, and if people are deferential, because you told a story about meeting your favorite broadcaster once and then... Oh, yeah. Starstruck and then it annoyed him and everything. So I was like, oh my gosh. So you were fine with my questions until I posed the inquiry. I was like, hey, Nick, is it true that your flat cost $62 million? And you went ballistic. You were like, $62 million, $62 million.
Yeah.
And you started chasing me like you were going to throttle me.
Right.
And then you started laughing. And then it was like fake outrage. And then we laughed. And I was like, oh my gosh.
And this was, I was hosting a cocktail party.
Yes. Right. But it was,
so what would you like to drink, Gerald?
Well, I'm unfortunately a gin person, you know, so it probably would have been a gin drink.
Right. I can do that. I can pour gin in a glass.
Hey, two things really quickly, Nick. So one, first of all, years back, you made this joke about a homeless person crossing the street in a Rolls Royce hood ornament cutting them in half. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
Well, that doesn't sound like a joke.
No, it was so funny. And then one more thing. Okay, there's a show in the United States called C-SPAN where all the, like, hillbillies call in. And I was going to say to you, like, let's pretend I'm a famous American producer. I think if you came on that show and, like they should switch. They should come and, like, talk to your audience, and you should go and, like, take calls from the crazy Americans.
Yeah.
It would be unbelievable. It would be the number one show in the world. Just, like, you're reacting to them, man. It would be unbelievable.
Yeah, let me think about that for a second.
No.
Absolutely, no. But I have seen that program, and I've seen clips of the... presumably, it's lots of different guys who are taking calls, and... Well, the clips that I've seen are people will call in and they'll do that Howard Stern thing about, they should just shout Baba Booey, which is a Howard Stern thing. I don't really know what it's about, but they do that. And all sorts of, you know, because they don't seem to have a delay on that show.
It's some truly disturbing things get said.
Yes. But you have to sit through probably hours of intense boredom before you get somebody calling up with an amusement. But if you got the clips, then post them to me. All right.
Nick, pleasure to talk to you, man.
All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Gerald. There you are, the news from New Jersey. Yes, people call in to radio shows and they it's a spoof and the host is not aware that he is being spoofed until the punchline.
I'm immensely grateful to you for everything you've done in British politics over the last few years. I used to be an ardent Remainer. I voted Remain. I believed in the European project.
Mm-hmm.
I believed that staying in the European Union was the best thing for us. And then something happened and something monumental happened. It completely changed my opinion on the whole situation.
What was that monumental thing, Mark?
I was kicked in the head by a horse.
Right, very good. Okay, fine. Thank you.
No, thank you. How is Brexit going, by the way?
Brexit's going great.
Glad to hear it. 0345-6060-973. Oldbury. Hello, Ranjit.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Yes,
mate?
Good. Right. Thanks. Yes, very well.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking about the Stock Aitken and Waterman, yeah.
Yeah, Stock Aitken and Waterman. Yeah. Painful.
Well, you know, Pete Waterman. Yeah, he used to do a radio show on one of our local radio stations.
Oh yeah.
And I used to be very good friends with him.
Oh yeah.
And he was gonna come and see me at my shop, and he did. But what unfortunately happened was my son had an accident in Birmingham, and I had to go and rescue him. And this was about 5 or 6 years ago. And a couple of weeks ago, one of my friends went to Crewe or Manchester that way to a model show, and he met Pete Waterman there. And he said to him, he says, "Oh, I know a friend of yours." He says, "Who?" He says, "Oh, Ranjit." He's still running the chippy. So I'm just thinking, someone, you know, that famous, yeah?
Mm.
And they're still humble, aren't they? They still remember people.
Well, by humble, you mean he has a memory, a functioning memory.
No, he's still, and he said, "Well, when you get back, say hello to him, and I'll pop round."
I don't doubt that he is a marvellous person, and I know that he is particularly interested in train sets, like Rod Stewart is.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't. It was like torture in the 1980s. Every time you turned the radio on or went to a nightclub, it was that blooming music coming out. It was all the same. I absolutely hated it.
And about cars, yeah, you know, cars, I tell you what, you can't beat Fords. You know when you see an Aston Martin looks like a Ford?
Yeah. Well, they had the same designer for a while.
Yeah, they bought them. And you know when you see the SUV vehicles, you can get Bentleys and Rolls-Royces.
I know, they all look the same. Well, the only difference between a Bentley and a Rolls-Royce SUV is that they're bigger than most other ones. And you see, sometimes you see a Lamborghini SUV, and they do look a bit like spaceships. But apart from that, all of the others look the blooming same. Why do cars have to be so boring?
And you've been a car racist at the moment, saying they're all the same. They all look the same and that.
They do.
You know,
yeah,
I think one of my relatives, he used to be, he was very high working for Jaguar Land Rover. And you know when Ford took over and then BMW took over after them. And I asked him, "What are they doing that for?" He says, "They want our technology." I says, "Well, can't they strip a car down and just make another one?"
Yeah.
And you'll find that, right? And they took the Mini and kept that and sold everything else, got the technology. And that was when all the 4x4s came, because don't forget, originally, say, 25, 30 years ago, there weren't that many 4x4s, were there?
No, there wasn't any at all. People were driving saloon cars. And you almost see no saloon cars on the road at all these days. And I just don't think it's necessary to own that much metal just to get to Tesco's and back. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but and that's why you need wider spaces now to park the cars.
Yeah.
And if you go to airports, a multi-story car park, you can't make the bays any wider, can you? But then again, though, you've got people like Trump driving cars, yeah? You need to have a wider car now, don't you, as well?
Well, you need to have a wider car space if you want to park and then be able to get out of your car. Or you leave it with no cars on either side of you. You pick a spot in the supermarket with no car on either side, and you come back, and some chump has parked so near your car that you can't physically get in the blooming thing.
Well, if you look at a Ford Fiesta from, say, 1977, 76, that was when they first come out, to the new Ford Fiesta just before they finished.
Yeah, tiny.
I think you nearly got an extra foot in, yeah. But then people have grown as well.
They haven't grown that much. I mean, it's not necessary that cars have to increase in size to occupy our vast bottoms now. I mean, you used to be able to fit 8 people in an old Mini. I know we've got fatter, but we ain't that fat. All right, gotta go. Thanks a lot, Ranjit. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. The British Chambers of Commerce has warned President Trump's new announcement on tariffs will weaken global economic growth. Its head of trade policy has been speaking after the US leader increased his new global import levies from 10 to 15% on Saturday evening. He made the initial announcement after the country's Supreme Court ruled against Donald Trump's tariffs policy on Friday, but Marco Forgione at the Institute of Export and International Trade has been telling LBC the tariffs are not just about gathering money.
What President Trump is doing here is using trade and tariffs as a tool in an America First policy and a determination to unpick the established multilateral order that's grown up over the past 50 years.
The government says its new plans for schools will include a target to halve the so-called disadvantage gap among children. It says the white paper will aim to make the change by the time pupils born under this government finish secondary school. The measures are due to be published in full on Monday. A committee of MPs has concluded local political pressure may have played a part in the banning of Maccabi Tel Aviv supporters from a match against Aston Villa in Birmingham last year. It's coming from the Home Affairs Committee. LBC's Midlands correspondent George Ike has more.
The report says that Simon Foster, the Police and Crime Commissioner, appeared to prioritise defending the Chief Constable rather than holding him to account, until that became untenable when information emerged that a detail used to justify the ban was based on an AI hallucination by Microsoft Copilot. That was a non-existent West Ham versus Maccabi Tel Aviv fixture that was presented to the Safety Advisory Group. George Ike, LBC, Birmingham.
4 men have been arrested on the suspicion of murder following a stabbing in East London. A man in his 60s was attacked in Walthamstow on Friday night. Around 1,500 protesters have marched through central London to call on the UK government to close the Iranian embassy there. Demonstrators gathered outside Downing Street before moving to Tehran's site in Westminster. And in sport, Great Britain's men's curlers have won silver at the Winter Olympics. They came second behind Canada, losing 9-6 during the final at Cortina in Italy. LBC weather, cloudy and wet for many areas before clearer conditions arrive, but more showers will eventually move into Scotland and Northern Ireland overnight. We'll see a low of around 5 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Hello.
My dog's been taken.
Yeah, I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. ate it. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has spent years campaigning against vaccines, says the Washington Post, but with the flu shot, he suggested that it's personal. Kennedy has linked his strained, raspy speech to the vaccine despite several medical experts saying there is no scientific evidence to support that claim. But, you know, they're just medical experts, so what do they know about medicine? He said, I've got spasmodic dysphoria, or dysphonia, rather. That's what's wrong with my voice. And it's a listed side effect of the flu vaccine. Well, if you read the listed side effects of the drugs you get in the chemist, you'll see that almost everything will cause everything up to and including death. Don't read the things that come with your pills. You should always read the things that come with your pills. But if you read the side effects, I mean, it's absolutely terrifying. Wouldn't take anything. Yogurt probably kill you. You read the side effects. Now in his role as the most powerful public health official in the nation, he continues to say that the flu vaccine may have caused his condition. He told USA Today in mid-January, it's a potential culprit that I cannot rule out. It's the sort of statement, says the Washington Post, that alarms public health experts who have protested Kennedy's pattern of raising doubts about vaccines that they say have proved to be safe and effective with decades of evidence. Yeah, the vaccine could have caused his speech problems. Or it could be that he had a worm eat his brain. And he used to be addicted to heroin. And then there's this.
I'm not scared of a germ. You know, I used to snort cocaine off of toilet seats.
Yeah, he used to snort cocaine off toilet seats, but it's the flu vaccine that made him talk like that. Only in America, right? Well, let's hope so. 0345-6060-973. Speaking of which, San Francisco. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Nick. I had a Ford Cortina GT in 1972.
What color?
Which I drove. It was red. I loved it. I miss it to this day.
Yeah.
And I drove it across the United States from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Now, was this an English car?
It was an English car.
Right.
They actually did sell them at some dealerships. Huh. And
why did you buy that though? Because it would have been about half the size of every other car on the road.
I liked small cars, but this one was boxy, and as a lot of them were in those days. And the good thing about boxy is you could actually see out of them. And I liked it. It had a tachometer. It had a wooden dashboard, like a fancy Bentley or something like that. And huh. I enjoyed my drive across the United States, but I broke down only once. And it was in Russellville, Arkansas.
I've never been there, but that sounds like a place that you wouldn't want to go. Where in Arkansas?
Russellville,
Arkansas.
There you go. I was hoping you would play that. Well, it broke down, and was at a service station. The guy said, well, you know, he had it up on the hoist. I don't know about this. It looks like there's something with it's either your master cylinder or your slave cylinder. Now, I don't even know if you can say that anymore, but it's one of those two things.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to keep it here overnight, but you're in luck because my cousin Merle just happens to own a nice motel down by the interstate.
Uh-oh.
We're going to give you the family rate.
Uh-oh. Okay, so, right. You'll never leave that building alone.
Warning.
It was actually very nice, and they did fix the car, and I was able to continue my trip, but I got it into Los Angeles, and I decided I needed to take it in for something, and a guy put it up on the hoist, in California, and he looked up there, and he pointed at something, and I said, is everything okay? He said, well, it's all right, but it looks like somebody Mickey Moused something with the slave cylinder up here. And the thing about the word Mickey Mouse is you never want to hear it used as a verb, okay?
No.
Not good.
No, that's right.
Anyway, what was done in Arkansas, this guy undid it, and the car ran on for quite a few years after that. But I do miss the thing to death. It was a wonderful car.
Well, I cannot believe, with all of the cars, all of the fantastic-looking cars that were available to you at the time, that you picked a rather boring-looking British Ford Cortina. Was it a Cortina you said you had?
Yeah, it was a Ford Cortina.
I mean, that's such a dull-looking car.
I even have the Road and Track article that they wrote about it. They thought enough about it to write about it in Road and Track, and they said it suffered from moderate understeer. Now, I have no idea exactly what that is.
No. Nothing to be concerned about.
Yeah,
right. Okay, well, I'm glad that we finally found a car made in the in Britain in the 1970s that actually worked for more than about 50 miles without breaking down. Excellent work. Thanks a lot there, Mike. If I was in America, I would not have chosen a British car. Ever. I would have gone for the Cadillac DeVille 1959. The fins on the back of that car were, it was like peak fin. I don't think any car had fins that were bigger than that. It was absolutely ludicrous, but fantastic. I saw one in this country a little while ago. It was parked in, it was parked outside their house in their driveway, and most of the car was on the pavement because their driveway wasn't big enough. It was big enough for an ordinary car, but not this car. And it was, oh, it was such a sight to see. Look it up in the World Wide Weight, I double dare you. A Cadillac DeVille, 1959. The fins were about a foot high. Basically, it was a fin transport device with those two, like, rocket engine lights on either side of the fin. One of the best-looking cars that's ever been made. Couldn't go round corners, mind, but, you know. Let's see now. Somerset, Laura. Too late. Jeremy says, I think you're being a little unfair on the US Democrats. They say, oh, that's the sternly worded thing, right. Amy says, hi, Nick, I think Trump will have a Roman-style mosaic of his own huge orange and white face built into the floor of his pointless ballroom. Yeah, and there it will stay until Americans snap out of it and come to their senses. Hey, America, are you great again yet? Let's oh, she's back, is she? Laura.
Hello.
There you are.
Hi. What a lovely show, Nick.
Is it?
Well, you've got all these people calling and telling me how beloved you are, even though you're not very nice back.
Not very nice back, no.
Yeah. I mean, how does it feel?
It feels great, mate.
Do you know, I was reading up on RFK Jr. when you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know he had a, like, brain fog a while back?
Brain fog. He had a brain worm. It ate half his brain.
Well, yeah, but the quote that I was reading about, the quote that he made was, it got in my brain, ate some of my brain, and then died. And I just think, what kind of death would a worm go through eating some of Donald Trump's brain?
Well,
I mean, what's in there to cause the worm to die?
I wouldn't imagine that there was enough to fill it up.
Donald Trump's
brain would be the snack you could eat between meals without ruining your appetite. I'm just saying.
So I called to talk about something that would come up a while ago about the separating the art from the horrible artist.
Yeah.
And I have attempted to do... I agree with you, because I also think if you really look into everyone with a
microscope.
I've got brain fog. Yeah, why not? And if you looked into the everyone's horrible in some way, aren't they, really?
They really are. Yeah, people are awful. I've met people, and I'm not keen.
And, like, creatives, at best, are weirdos.
Weirdos,
and at
worst, yeah.
Yeah, at worst, are just, well...
Beyond the pale.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because I went to see Doja Cat a few years ago.
Doja Cat. Did they do this one? No?
Yes, that's her, yeah.
Oh, her, right.
Yeah, she's the kind of artist, Nick, if you don't mind me saying, that, like Cliff Richard, you would probably prefer was instrumental rather than, you know, singing.
I don't know anything about Doja Cat. I mean, it is a name that I've heard, but is she anything like Dua Lipa? Doja Cat and Dua Lipa should do a
collab.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You're really good with the young people lingo.
I'm hip and with it.
I mean, you're the same age as my dad, and I told him I went to Doja Cat, and you know more about her than he does. Yeah. So.
I didn't even know it was her. I thought it was. I thought you were talking about a band. Never mind.
Well, so she's a rapper.
Oh, well then, right.
Yeah. And she has a history of, like, not getting on with her fans.
Does Doja Cat know Bad Bunny?
That would be a massacre, Nick.
It would be a menagerie.
A cat and a bunny?
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
A menagerie is what it would be.
No, a cat and a rabbit would be a bloodbath.
A cat couldn't eat a rabbit.
It could try.
No.
It could attack it.
Way too much fur.
Well, anyway, they probably do know each other. But, yeah, no, Doja Cat, I quite like her music, but she's not a very nice person. Like,
really?
She doesn't get up. No, she just always wants to, like, rage bait her fans. There's another young person term for you.
Rage bait. I've got no idea what you're talking about right now.
It's like, it means saying things to provoke a reaction.
Right. The baiting rage. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like me saying to you, the best on stage performers are Oasis. That's rage bait for you.
Right. I'm trying to keep a lid on it.
But she's, she showed up late, and full disclosure, I don't remember a lot of the concert, to be fair to her, because...
How late was she?
Oh, God, I don't remember a lot, because I was...
Refreshed at the time. Booze. Yes. Guilty.
What else am I going to do with O2 Arena? But she also, like, doesn't really, like, interact. You know when after songs they kind of go, like, hello, New York, and, you know...
Hello, wherever I am. They probably write it down on their palms, don't they, just in case they forget, because everywhere they go, it looks the blooming same. They're all just sticking in a hotel room all day long before they've got to go out and, go on set. Just a little pinprick. That'll keep you going for the show.
That's a reference to something, I bet.
Nothing gets past you.
I like that. I didn't think I did, but having been to, like, other concerts, like, when I went to Fleet with Mac, was probably a little bit too much interaction I preferred. Like, because Stevie Nicks would be like, this next song, I'm going to tell you the whole lore behind it. And you know the lore behind Fleet with Mac songs. That's L-O-R-E.
L-O-R-E, yeah.
Yeah. They could write a saga about it.
I think that's very disrespectful to Stevie Nicks, one of the greatest voices in the history of rock, and you should stand there and listen until she runs out of breath telling you about the song she's about to sing. How dare you?
I did, but this is the thing, I liked a little bit of that, but Doja Cat don't do none of that. She doesn't even say, like, I love you guys or anything.
It very much depends on the artist. I mean, some people are very chatty, and some people aren't. First time I saw David Bowie, I don't believe he said a single thing to us, and it was absolutely epic, because he was doing that sort of Thin White Duke thing. Well, it was the Isolar tour, so it was Low and Heroes and stuff like that. But he just came on in darkness, and he did, the first song was, I think it was Warsaw or something like that, one of those instrumental, bomb, 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 like that, for about 5 minutes. And the crowd was going berserk, and it was still dark. You couldn't see anything at all. He hadn't said a single word to us, and he started with a very low-down instrumental, like the kind of thing you would play at somebody's funeral. And then 2 hours later, at the end of the show, I don't think he said a single word to us. But that was perfect for his character. But, I don't know anything about Doja Cat, but she should maybe, say hello every now and again, crying out loud.
He didn't say anything for 2 hours.
I don't think so.
He didn't put the lights up for 2 hours.
Well, the two are not the same. He didn't say anything, but the lights are, irrespective of that. Yeah, he had this sort of Dan Flavin the back of the stage was like a Dan Flavin exhibition.
Maybe he had people in the audience stealing wallets while the lights were down.
Right.
Would that be on brand for him? Well, no, he was lovely, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think you're thinking about it too much. But the Doja Cat being late is very, very bad form. You must be on time, unless you're Grace Jones. I once saw Grace Jones in Brixton. Oh, 3 hours late she was.
What?
3 hours late. Can you imagine that, Laura?
Oh, well, I've been to festivals, so...
No, you haven't been to nowhere where anybody's been 3 hours late. And the crowd... I mean, like, a lot of the crowd had just left by the time she came on. And she came on and didn't say anything. 3 hours... I think it was midnight by the time she actually arrived and started the show. And she was doing one of her, so, I don't know, like warm leatherette or something like that. And she was, I think it was warm leatherette. And she sang half the line and then put the microphone down to the crowd to sing the other half. And so it was like, warm. And then she put the microphone down to the person, like the nearest person in front of her, who was supposed to go, leatherette. But he didn't. He grabbed the microphone and said, you're 3 hours late. Where have you been? And she said, 3 hours? I don't even know what day it is. Which did seem true. All right. Thanks a lot, Laura. 0345. I'm late for the ads. Got to go. 0345-6060-973. LBC.
LBC.
It might be cold outside, but things are really warming up at the Wren Winter Sale, with red-hot prices on our high-quality, fully-built kitchens and fitted bedrooms. Right now, there's up to 60% off fully-built kitchens and all bedroom units, plus up to 7 years interest-free credit, made for making you feel warm inside, whatever the weather. Wren, made for living. Visit your nearest Wren showroom. Offers apply when you buy 5 or more kitchen units or 3 or more bedroom units. Finance subject to status and minimum spend.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Ready? Oh, look at you, that's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Come on. Listen, speak to me.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done, you should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job, done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
You're joking.
0345-6060-973. Donnie in Bognor Regis says, evening, Nick. What are your thoughts on the picture of Truss and the orange space hopper? Decide on which wall to put it on? No. Although Liz Truss, there is Liz Truss news. I must share this with you. I'll do it in a moment. Tim says, really interesting discussion on green just now, as in...
I know more about grass.
Grass. He's talking about some conversation we had some while ago on this show. He says, I'm a 50-plus-year-old business guy who enjoys smoking. My two purchase experiences this month, one, Fifth Avenue, New York City cannabis dispensary that looked like an Apple store, and two, my mate Cam in the car park near the Tube in East London. These were the easiest options in New York City versus London. Ridiculous situation. Makes no sense. It does make no sense. Not to me, it don't. Absolutely nuts. Hey, you know what? The war on drugs? Drugs won. Okay, here's Liz Truss news. A select group of the Uber wealthy have recently found themselves... This is the Times reporting on this. A select group of the uber wealthy have recently found themselves staring at the face of Liz Truss as she makes a simple pitch. Please part with £500,000.
What?
In return, the former Prime Minister has offered what she called the world's most distinguished individuals the opportunity to become founding members of a new kind of private members club in Mayfair. And I would imagine that the thought that went through the minds of the world's most distinguished individuals was... If I joined, would that mean I would be spending more time with Liz Truss? And formulated their response based on that. The club, to be called the Leckenfield, promises its, quotes, pro-growth leaders will be able to use a networking hub to do business under the watchful eye of the UK's shortest-serving leader. But the club's own growth faces an obstacle after receiving complaints from wealthy neighbours who claim it will be little more than a nightclub for the super rich. Which begs the question that the world's most distinguished individuals have to ask themselves. Would you like to pay a lot of money to be in a nightclub with Liz Truss? Local residents have sent objections to the development in Westminster City Council, warning Mayfair Village will greatly suffer from noise and relative chaos in a peaceful area, which is unfair. I mean, could something run by Liz Truss be chaotic? The venture to be housed in Leckenfield House, a former MI5 headquarters, has been described as Liz's baby, with the politician overseeing its elite membership list. If your name's not on the list, count yourself lucky. In recent months, lacquered black boxes containing a prospectus and personal message from Liz Truss have been delivered to hand-picked individuals that club bosses hope will join the 700-strong founder cohort. Hey, Liz Truss, where's my black lacquered box? It's not arrived yet. Yeah, believe that.
That is a disgrace.
Work on the 8th floor development is expected to start soon with the aim of transforming the office block into what Liz Truss calls a strategic nexus for a global network of pro-growth leaders. Doesn't that sound fun?
No.
The £500,000 joining fee will provide investors with lifetime membership, which seems a bit harsh. You don't even get life for murder. Ain't that right, Liz?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. 0345 6060 973. Aylesford. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Nick.
Tony.
I had my first fag at the age of 27, by the way.
You
Who
did,
does that?
You did what now?
I had a fag. Yeah, I've never smoked. All my family smoked, but I'll get onto the Winter Olympics shortly. I had a fag at my first fag at the age of 27.
What'd you do that for?
Well, I don't know. Stress.
And stress? Stuff.
No, then I got into it, but I've cut a fag. I've not had a fag for 5 days, but I like a fag now and again, but I know it's really bad, but I'm giving up completely.
I just don't get it. I really do not understand the appeal of cigarettes. I'm mystified, particularly if you are just trying it for the first time. I mean, what was pleasurable about the first time that made you think, oh, I want to do this again? It's like pouring Drano down your throat while you're being spun on like a fairground ride. It's awful.
I don't know why I picked it up, but you know, I was the only one in the family not to smoke. When you're, like, falling on your knee, when your mum and her partner were smoking 20 a day, and it's awful. But no, I wish my family and my mum's to stop smoking, because it's just awful. But the vape juice, people are vaping now, that makes me cough.
Vaping, I don't really get that either. I mean, I know that kids are into, being, naughty and all, and that vaping is cool, comes the message from next door. No, it's not. It's stupid. Vaping is supposed to be something that helps you get off cigarettes, but moron kids went past the cigarettes and went straight to the vaping. I mean, how idiotic is that?
I agree. That's the only good thing that Rishi Sunak did, I think, ban vapes. But anyway, Winter Olympics, I wanted to call up about. We're doing quite well. We won 2 gold. I know that, but I was watching it earlier on, or the day before.
What did we win gold in again?
The skeleton, right. I think. Was it the bobsleigh? But, you know, the way...
Oh, these are boring sports. I mean, you can't really tell the difference between one person who goes down the hill and another unless they crash.
Yeah, and that's why... And then you've got these people on these skis, but then, you know, the snowboarding, who do these magnificent fly jumps, but then I saw, I think it was a French or a German person, then they crash on the floor and you think, oh, God, that must hurt. Yeah. But the talent on that...
When you said side jumps, are you talking about the half pipe?
No, when they go down the ski and they go right down and they start somersaulting.
Oh, that. I don't know. Yeah, big air or whatever they call it. Slope style air or something like that. I don't know. But some of it is absolutely tremendous. And I haven't been watching it live because, you know, it's the talking and talking and talking. It's endless, the talking. So I've been trying to catch up on, the iPlayer. And it's absolutely infuriating. Whoever has organised that is a moron. That's just a fact. You look at the event that you want to see, and they tell you in the headline of the event who won that event. So you've seen who wins before you've seen the actual event. Why would they do that? if I want to watch moguls or freestyle skiing or a half pipe or whatever it is, then I want to. I don't want to have to. I want to watch it not knowing who's won the blooming thing. It's like introducing Match of the Day, and here's the crunch match between Manchester United and Manchester City, which Manchester City won 4-0, and here are the highlights. I mean, they would get fired if they said that, but that's when every clip on iPlayer on their Olympics coverage. Absolutely stupid.
Nick, well, I've got a secret for you. With the BBC iPlayer, what you need to do with this, because it happens with the Athletics, you need to go into your BBC iPlayer, then search, and you make sure you put Winter Olympics. If you don't want to know, you put the highlights. You put exact words, Winter Olympics highlights, for that actual day, and it will come up with it. But I agree with you, it's confusing.
No, it's not confusing, and what you've just said is not true. I skip through it, and they tell, but before you click on the event, they've already told you in the headline of that event who won it. It's so annoying, I can't believe it.
Well, it's unfair, and I'm going to say something about the BBC now. I think I'm quite happy to pay my licence fee, and anyone who wants to get rid of it, it's the best thing that we've got, and I think the BBC should take Donald Trump to the cleaners, if you ask me.
Well, all right, we can agree on that, yeah. It could be better value. Because, you know, what I actually watch on there is not much. Match of the Day and the Antiques Roadshow. Other than that, can't really think. So do better, I think. Everybody could do better all of the time. Let's just agree on that. All right, got to go, Tony. Thanks for that. 0345 6060 973. It's just past 12:30 on LB. See, I could do better. Should be 12:30. Just past 12:30, here's the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The British Chambers of Commerce has warned President Trump's new announcement on tariffs will weaken global economic growth. Its head of trade policy has been speaking after the US leader increased his new global import levies from 10 to 15% on Saturday evening. A committee of MPs has concluded local political pressure may have played a part in the banning of Maccabi Tel Aviv supporters from a match against Aston Villa in Birmingham last year. It's coming from the Home Affairs Committee. And the government says its new plans for schools will include a target to halve the so-called disadvantage gap among children. It says the white paper will aim to make the change by the time pupils born under this government finish secondary school. LBC weather, cloudy and wet for many areas before clearer conditions arrive. More showers will eventually move into Scotland and Northern Ireland as the night goes on. We'll see a low of around 5 degrees.
This is LBC.
Older cars can be a bit noisy and a bit cold and a bit clunky over the potholes. At Harwoods, we'll help you choose an altogether more civilised car. Let us show you the difference at Harwoods, Audi, Southampton and Portsmouth. With our wide range of new cars in stock, you can drive a civilised new 26 plate this spring. Details at harwoods.co.uk. Harwoods, family owned since 1931.
At Bicester Village, there's no ask too big and no detail too small. Shop with up to 40% off every day at The White Company, Jo Malone London and more. Discover helpful services and delicious dining around every corner. And always more reasons to stay a little longer. Bicester Village. What will you find?
Forecasting sun with 100% chance of beach. There's still time to get up to £500 off package holidays in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
When we're little, we don't overthink things. We're brave, confident. We laugh and ask questions.
And play.
And play. So why stop there? Just because we're adults, it shouldn't mean we stop trying new things. For me, starting a career in early years has meant not just a new job, but new skills, new friends.
Like me?
Yes, and a new sense of purpose. All that, and I can earn while I learn, right here in Surrey.
Yay, painting next.
Do something big. Work with small children. Tap the banner to get started.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sully says, but the rich had big cars. They only shrunk the cars to remind Joe Block and wife
to remember what their station in life was supposed to be, and not to aspire to more. And now we know how Brexit came about, and it all started with the small fins at the back of a shrunken car. What are you talking about? That sounds like one of those Russian bots that you see all over Twitter.
Affirmative.
Yeah. You're not a real person, are you, Sully? You've got an official blue tick and three followers. You're not a real person. Carr says, Nick, I'm listening about an hour behind on catch-up, so forgive the tardiness, but I thought I'd chip in on the subject of transporting large instruments. When I was a lot younger, I used to carry a tuba on the back of my 50cc Simpson motorbike, held on with nothing but bungee hooks. It was heavy enough that that, as well as making the front wheel barely touch the ground, it also reduced my top speed on the flat from 42 to 35. Blimey. Carrying a tuba on a motorbike, that does not sound like a great step forward in road safety. Let's see now. Salford. Hello, Gaz.
Hiya, Nick. Hi.
Gaz.
Yeah. You got me goat on cars, so I thought I'd ring up and say hello.
Okay.
I took a few notes this time, because last time I called, my mind went blank.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
Yeah. Well, I'm in my late 40s now. Yeah, and just a few things about cars. You do go through life and accumulate, you know, you categorise what cars throughout your life, you know. Yeah, well, I've got a few. my first car was a Ford Fiesta Mark 1.
Right, nothing wrong with that.
No, it was great, I loved it. I had a Ford Escort RS Turbo.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a hooligan's car, yes.
It was a hooligan's car, and it had a lot of engine problems. I also had a Maestro. I've written it down here.
Maestro?
Maestro, yeah, a red Austin Maestro.
Oh, why?
Why? Because it was an EFI 2-litre MG.
It was still a Maestro.
It was lightning fast. It had a wheel bearing problem. It was lightning fast, and I've had a ruck of Fords, you know, throughout my driving history.
I've only had two cars in my whole life, and they're both the same. Two,
seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I've had hundreds. Well, not hundreds. You know what I mean? I've had more than two.
Yeah. No, I've sort of skipped that whole thing. I just bought a third-hand car twice, and I just drove it into the ground. But I'm currently driving the second car I've ever owned into the ground. It's got 105,000 miles, and I'm taking bets on there as to how much further it'll go. There's no reason really why you can't do twice that.
Well, we've got a Peugeot 207, and it has cost us an arm and a leg.
Mm.
Repairs, the ECU went, that was
fine. And all that money you spent on it, it's still a Peugeot.
But it's low mileage.
It's still a Peugeot 207, yeah.
Yeah, it's low mileage, so you've got to balance it up. You think to yourself, well, it's low mileage. If I go out and spend some more money, I'm going to buy somebody else's problems.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons why I haven't changed my car, is because if I buy a new car, you might buy a lemon. You've got no idea. I just got lucky twice, and the less I have to make a decision, then the better I like it. All right, guys, I've got to go. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Miles says, Nick, you are broadcasting fake news. Cliff Richard did indeed release a single with Stock Aitken and Waterman. It was his 100th single, and it was called I Just Don't Have the Heart. In 1989. Very clearly from him, though. Stock, Aitken and Waterman released Roadblock in 1987, which was a white label without their name, to prove that their music would be played. You merged the two into one. Oh, right. Right. Yeah, Roadblock. I do remember that. And that was a pretty good track. So if Stock, Aitken and Waterman were complaining... It seems hard to believe, but they were complaining that people weren't playing their music anymore, because you could not turn the radio on in the 1980s without hearing that stuff they made. God, it was painful. Absolutely excruciating. And then he put out this track called Roadblock. I do remember that. It was a genre, I hate that word, genre that they called go-go, wasn't it? It was a bit sort of James Brown-y. Roadblock. Yeah, I remember that. And it was a white label, and people played it, and they thought, wow, this is great. And then they found out it was Stock Aitken and Waterman. Took that off the wheels of steel and threw it across the room. No, that is a good track. See? Stock Aitken and Waterman, you could make a good song if you put your mind to it. You just didn't want to, did you? Oxford. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Nick.
Tom.
You've got all these people coming over here and taking over our radio show.
Yes, that's
when
right.
This show started, it was just me and Ranjit, and I could call and talk to you whenever I wanted to. Now I've got to wait on hold for 2 hours sometimes, and I don't get to speak to you.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair, Nick.
It's like being in the doctor's surgery. Who are all these people?
Yeah. I've got a couple of other points, Nick, if you let me.
Right.
You know, last time when we spoke, I told you about Kaby Lim, the famous TikToker. Did you look him up?
I don't recall ever speaking to you before in my life, but no, and I don't remember that either.
Well, if you remember, you advised me to get off TikTok, which I did.
Oh, get off TikTok. Yes, that's excellent advice.
Secondly, I'm going to send you back to TikTok because there's a lady there who does so many impressions of Donald Trump, which I think you're going to enjoy. Well, she just kind of replaced the things he actually said, and the clips are like the things the president actually said. And they're absolutely hilarious.
There used to be... I haven't spent very much time on social media lately, but there was a woman who used to lip-sync Donald Trump, and that was hilarious when she was doing that, because taking Donald Trump's words out of Donald Trump's mouth and reading them cold in somebody else's voice, I mean, it just looks like and sounds like gibberish. But if you take the visual of Donald Trump away and you have somebody else saying it in perfect lip sync, I mean, that just shows you how utterly silly the man is. I have no idea what her name was. But she used to appear, her clips used to appear on Twitter a lot, but I haven't spent very much time on that lately, so.
It's probably the same person I'm talking about.
Right.
Finally, last point, I could not find your book on Audible. Are you banned on Audible? I don't know.
No, it's not on...
I'm checking in America now.
No,
I don't know why.
It is not on Audible, it's on Kindle. Only on Kindle.
Okay.
You can buy it in ebook form for eco-woke hippies, you can buy it in paperback form for people who hate trees, and... if you have sight difficulties or you just can't be bothered to move your eyes left to right, you can have it read to you by a robot.
Affirmative.
How much can I pay to get you read it to me, Nick?
We're talking six figures, Tom. Six figures.
I'm going to pay you $10,876,000,000.
Then I will be at your door within the hour. As long as you can come up with...
$8,737,540,000.
Yeah, that's my price. All right, excellent work there, Tom. Right. Thanks for that. Ta-da, 0345-6060-973. Oh, by the way, the podcast that I do with Cameron McGiffin is taking a break.
Yeah.
And in its stead, I have doubled up the number of best-of podcasts that I do. It's called the Nick Abbott Habit. It used to come out just once a week. Now it's coming out twice a week in an extended form. It's much, much longer than it used to be. It's at least 40, 45 minutes long. Used to be just half an hour. So it's extended and now twice a week. The Nick Abbott Habit. It's concentrated amusement, clips from old shows. I think you'll love it. Ask for it by name on an internet near you, the Nick Abbott Habit. Let's see now. Edinburgh. Robert.
Hello.
Robert.
Hi, hello. It's about, I was in a hospital, it's about vaping.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this guy, he was like a professional sort of lawyer or something, and probably a Lanette or somewhere like that, or Perriott's or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But he was a lawyer, but he'd only vaped. And he go, it's how dangerous vapor is. He go, when his left tonsil taken away, and I bet his tongue taken away, had cancer.
Oh, my God.
And that's true.
You should have given us a warning.
Warning!
just spring that on us without any indication of where you were going with that. I mean, I am...
Aye, but that's true. People think it's safe. It's not...
It may not be safe, but it is 100% stupid. I just cannot believe that people went straight from not smoking cigarettes and then went to vaping. Vaping is supposed to be the thing that gets you off cigarettes.
What annoys me, I used to smoke years ago, 40 years ago, but when the vape, it goes, it's like a big cloud, and you get the vape in.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, that's what I didn't like, but a bit about a car.
Yes.
In the 1970s, right?
It's
I saw a car at Granton, right?
Uh-huh.
A Thunderbird. It was a Stag.
Oh, yeah.
Two-seater Stag. Imagine how much that cost a lady.
Those Stags, they were fantastic. That had a T-bar in it, didn't it? Yeah, brilliant car.
And I was thinking, I was thinking to myself, Christ, he must be really, really wealthy kid, because he looked sweet as a lady.
Big money these days.
It would have been daft money.
Jensen Interceptor.
It was driven by a officer. I thought he must be for wealthy, kind of like
big money. Yeah, Jensen Interceptor. That was driven by Roger Moore in the Persuaders. You remember?
But as I said, the main thing I followed up, Nick, was a bit about the danger of vaping, because like kids vape.
Yeah, kids are morons. Stop vaping, kids, you idiot. Stop vaping and get your faces out your phones. It's later than you think.
And social media, I don't really do social media.
No, there's nothing social about it.
That Donald Trump is just a moron, really. I mean, I just didn't understand how anybody could have voted for him.
He's a numpty. In your local vernacular.
His mother would have called him that.
Yeah. It's a numpty.
His mother called him that.
All right. Okay.
Anybody that keeps shouting how smart they are.
Yes. He is smarter than everybody. Nobody is more smart than him. That is just a fact. All right, and he relies on the stupidity of others to agree with that.
I love the poorly educated.
Loves the poorly educated. All right, got to go, Robert. Thanks for that. Robert says the engine in the Ford Anglia was the same engine that went into the Ford Capri Classic, which had much longer tail fins. Well, I don't know anything about that. I'm still dreaming about the Jensen Interceptor. God, what a car that was. How would you ever replace the back window, though? I mean, it was just colossal. And if that ever broke or got a dink in it, where would you get the replacement from? Ellie says, my son plays the double bass. When we were buying a car, the showroom assistant let us drive the car home to see if the bass would fit in the car. It did, so we bought the car. It was a second-hand estate. Well, it's about the only kind of car that would fit a double bass in. Apart from a Mini, which is apparently like the TARDIS, you can fit anything in one of them.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Ball.
There have been calls this week for a crackdown on fare dodging, but is there a way of stopping it? And is the UK's love affair with vegan food now over?
Clive Ball at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
Hello, I'm the new deal or no deal scratch card from the National Lottery. The banker called. He doesn't think you have what it takes to beat him. But forget that guy. Play me today and you could be one of millions of instant winners. And show that mean old money grabber who the real big deal is.
Pick up the new Deal or No Deal scratch card in store today. Search Dream Big Play Small. Rules apply. 18 plus.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling. and smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go in a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment and indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Come on, we're running late!
We are running late. Muad Dib says, I used to own an Alfa Romeo Stelvio. I woke up one morning to find it had run away with a Giulietta. Really? Really? A listener with material.
Oh, no.
Malcolm in Bodmin says, Nick, can I say, I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. I deal my own deck, sometimes the ace, sometimes the deuces. No, Malcolm, you may not say that. Heston. Hello, Isaac.
Hello.
Isaac.
Yes. Three things.
Couple of three things. Business. Yeah.
Right. Number one, you spoke about Cliff Richard and the Go-Go's and the Go-Go genre in the same sentence, right?
I did.
Yeah, right. I just want to let you know that as a retired disco dance house music man, now yeah. In the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much for that memory. The Go-Go scene came out of Washington, D.C.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah,
and they had a couple of hits, and then it just kind of disappeared within the course of one summer, didn't it?
Correct, yeah. One of them went, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that go-go swing. Do up, do up, do up, do up, do up, do up. Right. Yeah, okay. Number two,
yeah.
Liz Truss. Now, I try and leave Liz Truss alone, but...
Yeah, that's best, yeah.
But, yeah...
Don't make any sudden moves. If you find yourself in Liz Truss's company, don't make any sudden moves. Just smile and then back slowly out of the room.
I know, but she does make me laugh. I'm telling you. For two reasons. Number one, right? Yeah. Okay, I've seen her YouTube channel and I'm thinking to myself, what? You know, she's gone from Prime Minister to Internet Grifter. So, but you know, I've got to admit, I'll give her some kudos, okay? Her YouTube channel does look quite polished, you know.
Does it?
Yeah.
Are you joking about that?
Yeah, no, I'm really? Thinking myself, yeah, well, I mean, I'm thinking, oh, dear. It's, anyway, number three, the third and final one. Oh,
yes.
No. On Liz Truss.
Right. This is point two of two. So this
two
is
of two.
2-1 we've had, now 2-2. Go ahead.
Exactly,
keeping score. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she wants to start a club in Mayfair, or a members club in Mayfair, right. Yeah. I've got a friend of mine, okay, an African guy who used to live in Mayfair, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe me and him could go and could raise the £500,000 each.
Between you.
Go and join the club, yeah.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. Put me on the list, Isaac, and I'll see you at the bar, as long as you're paying.
No problem. And finally, right, you also spoke with one caller about Las Vegas and Greenwich, yeah, in the same sentence. Yeah,
Las Vegas and oh yes, that's right. Because they were considering putting one of those Enormo domes, that magical thing that they got in Las Vegas, in the Greenwich Peninsula. And I think the residents complained at the very idea because it would have shone a light brighter than the sun into their rooms night and day.
Okay, right. Well, London's too busy and noisy anyway. It doesn't need any more noise.
Are you kidding me? Las Vegas has to be one of the noisiest places on the planet.
Okay, but what I want to say is, right, what they should do, and it's something I thought of about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
What they should do, they should create a Las Vegas Strip from Clacton to Lowestoft. Right, and all the jobs go to
all the jobs go to locals and make sure that all the jobs go to... That's a serious point. If I was Prime Minister, I'd say, right, we're going to invest in Clacton, Lowestoft, mm-hmm. all that east coast of England strip, which is run down and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It'll be the Las Vegas of the east of England, mm-hmm. giving all the jobs and money to benefit the locals, okay? And also, I won't forget Blackpool as well. So, there you go.
Yeah, but it's an industry based on people losing money that they can't afford. You know, gambling is a terrible business.
Yeah, well, you've got to spin it. As I'm studying marketing, you can sort of say, why go to Las Vegas when you can spend your money in Clacton?
Why go to either of those places? I mean, why don't you go somewhere better than both of those places? Like, anywhere would be good.
Well, I don't know. It's an idea. I think it will boost the economy of the east of England and Blackpool, because I've heard Blackpool's very run down.
It's very run down, yeah. Last time I went to Blackpool, it was full of blokes on stag weekends who were wandering around the town in nappies with dummies in their mouths. And they'd obviously been doing it for, you know, quite a few hours. And I think after a while, you kind of forget how you're dressed and you just start to act normally, which made it look even weirder.
They're right,
just wandering around, you know, perusing the postcards and having a drink and a sandwich in nappies with dummies in their mouths. It just looks too weird. That's my abiding memory of Blackpool.
Right. Those are my three things. Okay. See you next week.
Okay. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Isaac. David in Teddington says, I just watched a recent interview with Boris on the BBC.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
And for a split second, I thought Wurzel Gummidge was back on our screens. Surely with all of his earnings, he could afford a comb. Yeah, of course he could. But it's his act, which is, you know, you've probably seen pictures of him at school. There's a famous suite of pictures when I think he's, like, they're having a pillow fight or some stupid thing like that at Eton. And he's got the exact same haircut now as he had then. And I suppose when you're a child, if you look a bit sort of scruffy and untucked, it's a bit sort of charming and disarming. It sort of brings out your mothering instinct. Well, it does with some, I suppose. And you think, oh. And you want to, you know, spit in your hand and rub it through his hair to, you know, pat it down a bit. But if you're still trying to pull that act off when you're a grown-up, I mean, that's a bit sad, isn't it? The state of him. Is there nobody that can intervene? I mean, he's got a current wife, hasn't he? Have you seen what he looks like when he leaves the house, dear?
I don't care.
She's actually not that bothered. Just as long as he leaves the house. But, I mean, such an embarrassment. That guy used to be the Prime Minister of this country. Can you believe that?
No.
And this woman used to be the Prime Minister of this country.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can you believe that?
No.
No. God, we've had some shockers, haven't we? And then there was...
This government.
That government. Don't get me started. Matthew says, the Spice Girls aren't five singing haircuts, they're four singing haircuts and a pouting, pouting tone-deaf Victoria. Victoria. Dave says, the best thing about Brooklyn Beckham's photos are the captions. Well... At least when you're looking at the captions, you're not looking at the photographs. I suppose, so in a sense, that is true, yeah. Liz in London says, I do love listening to you, but go easy on Cliff because he is a national treasure. His early songs were great, to be honest, and to be fair, When the Girl in Your Arms from Summer Holiday is still one I have on my playlist. But as a matter of interest, he hasn't been well lately. Seriously, so take it easy, says Liz. Carson says, my name is Carson. Yeah, I know that. I just wanted to say thank you. I'm 14, I've been watching, listening to you for about 4 years now, and you genuinely brighten my day. Oh, come, an old geezer on the radio is brightening your day and you're 14? Don't you have other things to amuse and delight? He says, your humour and the way you talk about things always makes me laugh and think. Oh, well, I'm sorry about the thinking part. And it really helps more than you realise. Thanks for being you and all the greatest content you put out. It means a lot, says Carson. Well, there you are.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carson. See, not all 14-year-olds are rubbish. Roddy says, no milkshake was thrown in the making of this message. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Appreciate that. How many more of these have I got? Oh, only about 50 pages. I'll pick one at random and it'll be the last one. Jay says, I've got coffee up my nose now. You made me laugh so hard. Well, I apologise for that too. I am very, very sorry.
I am very sorry that I screwed up. I am so sorry. You just don't know how sorry I am. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you missed any of this super show, you can listen back. Almost the moment it's finished, it's going to be available as a podcast on the internet. The thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. We take the news and most of the ads out. I think you'll love it. It's free on Global Player or the new LBC app. You can only hear it on those two things. Global Player or the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. Ask for Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. I'll be back tonight at 10 o'clock with my abnormal normal show at 4, Tom Slater. But first, Clive Ball.
Thank you very much, Nick. And coming up after the news, there have been calls this week for a crackdown on fare dodging, which costs an estimated third of £1 billion a year. Is there a way of stopping it, do you think? And should the perpetrators be named and shamed? Also, after a boom in veganism 5 years ago, you might remember that, leading fast food chains are now going into reverse, dropping meat-free options from their menus. What do you think has happened there? Is the vegan boom in the UK now over? Plus, we'll take a closer look at the government's announcements on schools. Got a white paper coming out tomorrow, and the BAFTAs are later on today. That and much more coming up after the news at 1 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. The government has reasserted its belief the UK's privileged trading relationship with the United States will continue despite changes to Donald Trump's new tariffs. He's announced the 10% levies introduced on Friday are being increased to 15%. The Washington journalist John Doman has been telling LBC tariffs are unlikely to disappear.
He believes in them. He believes in the power of them, thinks that they're a good thing for the American economy and American manufacturers. There are not a lot of mainstream economists who are true believers of that here in the United States. That's not even a popular proposal within his own political party, but they have sort of grudgingly gone along with it.
The Conservative leader is promising to cut the amount of interest paid on some student loans. Kemi Badenoch has given the commitment. As concerns grow over the costs being faced by graduates, the Treasury has been contacted for a comment. It's being suggested local political opinion in the West Midlands may have had a bearing on the decision to ban Maccabi Tel Aviv supporters from a football match in Birmingham. The Home Affairs Committee has produced a report after the controversy surrounding November's match with Aston Villa. More now from LBC's Midlands correspondent, George Ike.
The report has criticised the failure to keep notes of a call between West Midlands police and Dutch police. It's after West Mids claimed they'd been told Maccabi fans threw locals in Amsterdam into a river. MPs say that, along with wider problems over transparency and accuracy, points to a lack of basic due diligence in the evidence used to ban away fans. George Ike, LBC. Birmingham.
Around 1,500 protesters have marched through central London calling